come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today.
173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Simon Lumiliano on Capitol Hill on the floor of the United States Senate. The debate has begun whether to establish marriage as a union between a man and a woman and put it in the U.S. Constitution this way. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv.
Though supporters privately admit they won't get the two-thirds majority required to amend the Constitution, the sponsor, Wayne Allard, Republican of Colorado, says,
"We have a duty to, at the very least, discuss the state of marriage in America. If we do not take this up, we abdicate our responsibilities. We will allow the courts sole dominion on the state and future of marriage."
President Bush says he agrees that judges should not be allowed to redefine marriage, adding most Americans want marriage to mean just between a man and a woman. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Critics say the debate is simply to hustle conservative Republicans to get into the polls this November. Larry Sabato at the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia says that's pretty much on the mark.
Why put it up? And the answer is politics and the November elections.
The Wall Street slide today turned into a Wall Street fall. Stocks are already hurting from oil supply jitters after an Iranian threat over the weekend. This after the market was already concerned that severe hurricane activity could devastate Gulf Coast refineries again this summer. So a barrel of oil climbs to just under $73. And then, says CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus, the chairman of the Fed, Ben Bernanke, steps up.
Bernanke is talking tough on fighting inflation, and that means that we're probably going to see more interest rate hikes from the Fed, something that Wall Street was betting against.
So when the final bell sounded, the Dow was off 199, the NASDAQ had slipped 50, oil, gold, and silver all up. Good news for the team and the fans of Duke Lacrosse. The university will be fielding a men's lacrosse team next spring, but President Richard Broadhead says they'll be watching them very closely.
If we begin to see patterns of irresponsible individual or team behaviors familiar from the past, the athletics director and I will have no choice but to revisit this decision, and we won't hesitate to do so.
Broadhead canceled the team's season April 5th after a woman hired to perform at a March 13th team party told police she was raped by three team members. Mass kidnappings hit Iraq today with a lot of unanswered questions, like why? Gunmen in police uniforms, gunmen the Interior Ministry say were not police, targeted people at Baghdad bus stations and travel agencies, grabbing at least 50 people, herding them into cars, luggage and all, and driving them away. We still don't know since they're all not in, but it may be history in the making as 16-year-old Michelle Wee positions herself to become the first woman to qualify for the U.S. Open. Capping an opening 2 under par 68 with a chip from 60 feet that sent the large gallery into a frenzy. Stay tuned. This is CBS News.
Headaches hurt. They hurt a lot. Do you know the number one cause of headaches in small businesses? No, it's not that your partner writes all his memos in pig Latin. Number one, my friend, is hassles. Case in point, hassles caused by shipping stuff. First you have to pack the box. Then you have to weigh the box. Then you have to figure out postage, which involves math. Headache. Thankfully, there's a cure. Priority mail flat rate boxes from the U.S. Postal Service. Order yours at usps.com/smartbusiness and we'll deliver them free. Or pick them up at your nearest post office. Then, fill them with just about anything your business makes, sells, or, well, you know, just about anything. If it fits, it ships. And here's the best part. It's only $8.10 to ship anywhere in the U.S. Shipping headaches? Gone forever. Now, about your partner's pension for pig Latin? Ufte ukle. But at least you'll have Priority Mail flat rate boxes from the U.S. Postal Service. Get yours at usps.com/smartbusiness.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has signed an order for his state's National Guard to participate in President Bush's plan to back up border patrols at the Mexican border. CBS News reporter Stephen Coffin is in Spokane and says that doesn't look to be happening there.
Washington Governor Christine Gregoire is calling President Bush's plan to use National Guard troops to help secure the border with Mexico a temporary fix. However, Gregoire has nothing against volunteerism.
If we have individuals who want to volunteer to go to the border, I will accept their volunteerism, but I will not ask any member of the National Guard to go involuntarily.
A permanent fix, she says, would be fully staffed, fully trained personnel at the border. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane.
55 Guard soldiers from Utah are already on duty, adding fences, wiring new lights, and grading a road. Also, 10 guardsmen came in from Connecticut. I'm Lou Meligano, CBS News.
Why do I like working here? It's just cool working for a company that's out there with the latest technology. It's given me a chance to learn and grow into a new career. And now, I'm the guy who gets my teammates fired up about bringing Verizon's innovative broadband network to folks around the country. It's just an outstanding place to work. I work hard for Verizon, and Verizon works hard for me. And if my baby could actually talk, I'm pretty sure he'd agree. I'm Ryan Hill, Fios Marketing Manager. Our people, our network. Verizon, we never stop working for you.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show? Maybe because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary. It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose, not to save the world, just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need a little disinfectant in here. The air has been fouled by a network radio commercial for the Glenn Beck television show.
Ow!
And it follows the Nancy Grace program every night on Headline News.
Ow!
There. That smells a little better. I think I can proceed. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. That makes me your humble host, Peter B. We've got a great program lined up for you today, as usual. We'll talk about issues in the media with Paul Waldman from Media Matters. Coming up in about half an hour, Ari Melber, who writes for The Nation, is going to tell us how internet sites like MySpace were instrumental in turning out large numbers of protesters for the immigration marches that occurred over the last few months. Next hour, we're going to open up the phones, talk with you about your feelings as you approach the polls tomorrow. And we'll talk about the Senate's action, Bush bringing back the divisive issue of gay marriage.
Activist judges. I can't stand those activist judges.
Also on the program today, John Raw. He says if we each cough up $6 a year, we could have publicly financed elections. Can I give 12? And in our third hour today, I've got to duck out for a very important effort that I'm taking part in. I'll tell you about that later in the show today. But we will bring you a replay of our recent interview with Dr. Robin Myers, the author of the book Why the Christian Right is Wrong. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome at any time. You can join us on the line at 831-899-5792. That's a local call on the Central Coast. Or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 1-888-579-2540. You can also drop me email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And we have our official theme music for our representative from Media Matters for America. Their website is a powerful antidote to misinformation and lies in the corporate media. It's at mediamatters.org. And our media man today is Paul Waldman, senior fellow there at Media Matters, and also the author of a powerful new book that I can recommend to you called Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. Paul, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Always a pleasure to talk with you, and we've got some interesting stories to discuss, but, you know, I often come up with one that I want to talk to you about, and this week's no exception. There was a report on Friday afternoon that a Gulfstream jet owned by Pat Robertson, or one of his corporations, crashed and then a number of individuals were killed. And the story I read reported that they were on their way to an Indian casino for a golf tournament. And, of course, we never try to be insensitive when lives are lost. But I have not seen any reporting on this story at all over the weekend. Did it just get swallowed up in a media black hole?
I guess it must have, Peter, because I have to confess I didn't hear about it either. You obviously have your finger on a quieter pulse than most of us do. But, you know, sometimes there may be just sort of mundane reasons why something like that could happen. It's on the weekend, and reporters are paying less attention. But, you know, Pat Robertson is an interesting case. I think a lot of people don't realize that he's more than just a minister. He is the head of an entire business empire. He's worth, by many estimates, a few $100 million. So I don't know what his involvement with casinos is, but he certainly has many tentacles that reach all over the place.
All right. Well, if you could put out an APB for details on that story, I'm just curious about it. And it prompted me to restrain myself all afternoon on Friday. I got the news just before the show started, and it kind of brought out to me the inequities that we have in our media world, where Ann Coulter can talk about people who she doesn't like on the left and wish that they would die, wish that Timothy McVeigh had blown up the New York Times instead of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. So with some friends over dinner Friday night, I cracked what I'm about to tell you is admittedly a joke that is in very poor taste. And my point in telling this joke right here, right now, is that if Ann Coulter told it, Fox News and the others who carry her dreck would say nothing. But if they heard me tell it, they'd say, oh, my God, that's so tasteless. So here's my joke. Bad news, bad news. The bad news was Pat Robertson's plane went down, and the bad news is he wasn't on it. Now, you can argue whether that's funny or not, whether it's in poor taste or not. My point is that I find myself self-censoring in a way to preserve good taste and a kind of sense of not gloating when, you know, accidents happen. On the other hand, I just was grinding over the weekend, keeping in mind this double standard that we see in the media.
Well, there absolutely is a double standard, Peter. And, you know, you obviously, as someone who is in the media and communicates to people every day, you have to make decisions about where the line is for you. And taste is a part of that. But I think you're absolutely right that there's a real tolerance for extreme rhetoric on the left, on the right, that you don't see for on the left. Now, if you sort of troll the internet, you can find people on the left who will say extreme things, who will advocate the murder of people they disagree with. But who are they? It's somebody putting up a comment on someone else's blog. It's someone who has almost no audience. On the right, on the other hand, that kind of rhetoric comes from people like Ann Coulter, who have huge media megaphones at their disposal. I mean, she was featured on the cover of Time magazine, and she is someone who, as you say, with regularity advocates the murder of people she disagrees with. And we're all supposed to just sort of chuckle along. And then you're absolutely right when you say that anytime somebody on the left says something that sort of crosses that line, there's an enormous gasp, and people on the conservatives start talking about this left that's so hateful and is so extreme. But the fact is that there's an enormous tolerance for that kind of thing on the right, and we just don't see it on the left. There's no one, you know, within 10 miles of Ann Coulter coming from the left that's allowed to go on television.
Well, they hammer Michael Moore even when he doesn't say something like that.
Exactly.
And this leads to a lengthy piece, a really thoughtful analysis that your colleague Jameson Foser wrote, and I recommend it to people. It's on the Media Matters website right now. JMO alternates with Paul here in visiting with us on the program, and he really went to some length to analyze and detail the inequities in media coverage. And he points out that in recent weeks, Jack Murtha, Harry Reid's boxing tickets flap, and Senator Clinton's comments on a number of issues have been misconstrued and taken as an invitation to attack them.
Absolutely, and I think it was really an article in the New York Times about the Clintons' marriage that for many people was sort of the last straw. You may remember, I'm sure, talked about it, that a couple of weeks ago they did a front-page article, very lengthy article with a lot of investigation about how many nights per month Bill and Hillary Clinton spend together, trafficking in some rumors about Bill having affairs, and the there was a reaction that in some quarters. You know, David Broder from the Washington Post, who's kind of the dean of Washington reporters, in his subsequent column, dropped a kind of out of nowhere a little hint about Bill Clinton having an affair based on something that was in that article. And a lot of people on the Democratic side, on the progressive side, sort of stood up and said, how can this be happening? You know, where are the articles talking about John McCain's marital history? Where are the articles talking about Rudy Giuliani's marital history? Where are the articles speculating on how many nights George and Laura Bush spent together? Why is it that only Democrats seem to get this kind of treatment? And I think that what you're seeing on the left, Jameson wrote, he wrote two pieces, one this past Friday, one the Friday before, talking about some of these broader issues, and then relating it back to issues like the attacks on Jack Murtha and the grossly distorted coverage of this question about these seats at a boxing match with Harry Reid. And I think there's a real rising up that's happening. People on the left are saying, you know, enough is enough with this kind of, with these kinds of double standards, that it seems like every Democrat is assumed to be someone who's dirty and inauthentic. And in every presidential campaign we see, whether it's John Kerry or Al Gore or Hillary Clinton now speculating about the 2008 campaign, that they're just savaged by the press. And every kind of bit of opposition research coming out of the Republican National Committee is eaten up with a spoon. And meanwhile, the Republican candidates are assumed to be these authentic, regular guys who everyone likes. And so I think there's a real beginning, a movement starting, and hopefully we at Media Matters are playing an important role in that, for people to really start to ask some serious questions about the way that the press covers politicians, the way that it covers political movements, and how there are these gross double standards that always seem to work to the benefit of the Republicans and to the detriment of Democrats.
Here are a couple of lifts from what JMO wrote. No matter who emerges as a progressive leader or a high-profile Democrat, they're in for the same flood of conservative misinformation in the media. Too many people chalk up outrageous media treatment of, say, Al Gore or John Kerry to the men's own flaws, pretending that if they were better candidates that they'd have gotten better coverage. That's naive. The Democratic Party could nominate Superman to be their next presidential candidate, and two things would happen. Conservatives would smear him, and the media would join in. I think that's a very powerful indictment.
Absolutely. And you know, it doesn't mean that those people, you know, John Kerry or Al Gore, were perfect candidates or didn't have weaknesses or anything. But there's just such an appetite, such a willingness to run with these sorts of things. And we look at episodes like the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, where by the time the press got around to looking at whether or not the claims they were making were accurate, they found that they weren't accurate. And almost everything that they were saying about John Kerry was a lie. But by the time that happened, there had been hundreds and hundreds of articles talking about those claims and passing them on to the public. You know, in that piece, Jameson talked about Whitewater. You know, I was at an event speaking on a panel where someone was talking about some of the Bush scandals and saying, you know, why didn't this get the same kind of coverage that the Clinton scandals did? And the answer from one of the reporters there was, oh, well, you know, the Lewinsky scandal was about sex, and so that's always just sort of more sexy, and that's why. Well, the fact is that if you look back, what you find is that hundreds of articles were written about Whitewater long before anyone had heard the name Lewinsky. Now, if anybody can tell me what Whitewater is about, you know, you get a gold star. People don't even remember, because what all it was a little failed land deal in which the Clintons lost some money. But right. There were thousands upon thousands of stories about it. As right. I said, before anyone had heard the name Lewinsky, the Washington Press Corps pursued that story like rabid dogs. Always,
and it was,
with the assumption
it was spoon-fed
that they had
to them
wrong.
By the Arkansas Project, and your boss David Brock knows all about it. We got to take a break, and we'll return with Paul Waldman from Media Matters. Visit their website, MediaMatters.org. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The air we breathe, clean water, our coastline, our parks. The environment is important to all of us, and we should all be offended by Steve Wesley's attempt to smear Phil Angelides with false attacks. The truth, the Sierra Club, the League of Conservation Voters, Vote the Coast, Clean Water Action, and every other major environmental group have endorsed Phil Angelides for his commitment to protect the environment. The Sierra Club said Phil Angelides would be the greenest governor California's ever had. California's teachers, firefighters, and so many others we trust have all endorsed Phil Angelides. Barbara Boxer says only Phil Angelides will fully fund our schools. And Dianne Feinstein summed it up saying, it's Phil Angelides who'll put California back on track. On Tuesday, reject Steve Wesley's false attacks and vote for a governor who will do what's right for California and our environment. Phil Angelides, a governor we can count on.
Paid for by Angelides 2006.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
It is useless to resist us.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're talking about the media and what they do right, what they do wrong. Well, we're focused mostly on the wrong stuff right now. You can call us 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540, toll free. Coming up right after the half hour, Ari Melber will join us from The Nation. Talk about the unusual ways that online venues like MySpace were used to call out the troops. Not actually the troops, but the protesters for the immigration marches that occurred over the past few months. We continue with Paul Waldman, Senior Fellow at Media Matters for America, their website, mediamatters.org. And let's dive right into Fox News Channel here, if we can, Paul. And Neil Cavuto, who is kind of challenging coverage of the Haditha massacre and what we now know is a spate of killings that amount to massacres or atrocities by U.S. troops in Iraq. Some are under investigation, and the Haditha one appears to be the farthest along. But there's a real political pushback in efforts to honestly cover these investigations.
Yeah, and what we see here with this case of Neil Cavuto on Fox is two of the dominant strains in the right coming together. One is that anything, no matter what happens in Iraq, if it reflects poorly on the war as a whole, they're going to push back on it. So you find people who are really practically defending this massacre. There's that, and then there's the fact that conservatives will always blame whatever problem they're having on the media, no matter what. So what we saw in this case with Neil Cavuto is that he was claiming that this coverage of the Haditha massacre just shows media bias because they're spending too much time covering that and not enough time covering the terrible attacks that Iraqi civilians and American troops are subject to by all the insurgents, that there's not enough focus on those terrible things that are happening that are the fault of the insurgents, and too much focus on the Haditha massacre. Well, it turns out that the very day before, he was arguing that there wasn't enough coverage of the good news out of Iraq, and there was too much coverage of the attacks by insurgents against American troops and Iraqi civilians, and that was an example of media bias. So no matter what comes out, there are some people like Neil Cavuto who are going to say that it's an obvious case of media bias.
Let's listen to part of this. Go ahead, Matt.
There will be headings and roadside bombs, suicide attacks. We all know Iraq is a dangerous place. But are those dangers being blown out of proportion by the media? My next guest says, yes, they are. He says that the annual civilian death rate in Iraq amounts to 27 deaths per 100,000 people, and that your chances of dying a violent death are greater in places like Washington, D.C., Detroit, and Baltimore. With us now is Iowa Congressman Steve King. Congressman, good to have you.
Thanks, Neil. I'm glad to be on board with you. It is dangerous for our military that are there, and yet it's not as dangerous for the public in Iraq as been portrayed by the news media, which is my point.
All right, bottom line, you're saying we're getting a slanted view of what's going on there.
I believe that. I think we should always put it in perspective. And if I could add, the risk to our soldiers is significant, but they faced far more risk in other wars.
Okay.
That, for example, what profession, fishermen, 5 years as a fisherman is about equivalent to 1 year in Iraq in uniform, to put that in perspective, Neil.
Steve King, very interesting. Thank you.
All right, that's enough of that. And they didn't even compare it to working in a coal mine during the Bush administration after the inspections and the work rules have all been relaxed. That was remarkable for its detachment from reality, Paul.
Yeah, so they're somehow arguing, and you know those figures about it's more dangerous to be in Washington D.C. Those are just not true.
People in Iraq can't leave their houses because they don't know if the Ministry of the Interior will have a death squad out looking for Sunnis today. There were Sunni death squads out over the weekend. We just heard reports of people being kidnapped at random from the streets of Baghdad today. And, you know, nobody's blowing these things out of proportion. They're methodically reporting events as they occur. And to suggest that statistically it's safe to be in Iraq is just to, well, really live in some alternate reality. Dave, join us here on the program this afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul and Peter. As I connect the dots, the PNAC crowd had a very, very ambitious plan that went way back a dozen years or more. And Clinton wouldn't be a part of it, so they had to discredit him, and that's their game, is to, in any way they can, you know, distort, lie, and do it. But their objective for global domination, a new world order, which in effect means shifting the wealth of the country into the pockets of this little cartel, it's a very deliberate thing, every bit of it, I think. It's not... I don't know if I'm making my point clearly. It's trying.
Well, I think you're making your point, Paul. Your reaction?
Well, you know, I think that it's not just that Bill Clinton was opposed to one particular plan or another. I think that one of the things, and this is something I talk, as you know, Peter, about in my book, mm-hmm. is that Democrats have to realize and progressives have to realize that no matter who they nominate, it's not going to make a difference. No matter what kind of position they take, whether it's they take a Republican position on one thing or another, that they're going to be attacked with unyielding savagery. And if they haven't learned that lesson by now, then they really haven't been paying attention.
Yeah. Dave, thanks for your call today. We're just about out of time here. And, Paul, we didn't have time to discuss this exchange of sorts between Media Matters and the Wall Street Journal, but I want to direct people to the Media Matters website because it's very interesting the way James Taranto talks about the liberal media. And if you find some, can you get right back to me, Paul?
I'll let you know if we locate it.
Okay. We'll talk to you again real soon. That's Paul Waldman, senior fellow at Media Matters for America and author of this book, Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. Thank you, Paul.
Coming up next,
we're going to talk to Ari Melber from The Nation about using the Internet to organize these days. That's ahead on The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
So tell me, Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
And the Peter B. Collins rolls on. That is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, often humbling myself more than I expect, Peter B. Collins. The lines are open if you'd like to join us. This half hour, we're going to talk about using the Internet as an organizing tool. 831-899-5792 is our local number on the Central Coast. You can also call me toll-free from anywhere within the sound of my voice at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Ari Melber joins us now. Recently published a piece in The Nation magazine about the way that many resourceful people use the web, and in particular some of these individual spaces like MySpace.com, to get out political messages and activate people for the immigration marches that occurred over the past few months. Ari, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. And help me out here a little bit, because I am a user of the Internet. But I guess I'm showing my age, because I'm not that familiar with MySpace and some of these other sites that are often populated by younger people. I've looked at Facebook.com. I've spent maybe 5 minutes looking at MySpace, and I was told to expect easy access to nude pictures of members of MySpace, but in fact I didn't find them, so I kept going. But describe for people who aren't familiar with MySpace what it is, how it works.
Sure. MySpace.com is a website that allows people to post their own information, photos, and music about themselves and about things they're interested in, and then make very simple connections or links to other people's profiles. So you start to get a social tree or a network where you see there's Peter with your photo and your show, and you link to a friend and your friend's friend, and it starts to create one of these matrixes or social networks. And although a lot of people like yourself may not have heard too much about it or personally gone on, there are about 76 million people who use MySpace in the U.S. So you're talking
76
about
76 million?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's the most recent count.
Do you have a page at MySpace?
I have a very simple one that I use for research in this article, but it is not nearly as vivid or detailed as what a lot of teenagers have. And the majority of people on MySpace are teenagers. I should mention, some people set up multiple pages.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say 76, I mean 76 million user IDs is how they
right.
count it. But you might have a page for your show and a page for your rock band and a page for your political activism. You can set up all kinds of things on there.
And I might have a separate page with a different name and, say, a more youthful age for trolling for babes?
That would be your business, but you definitely can be whoever you want to be when you go online. So
yeah, my internet age is 26.
There you go. And if whatever age or identity you set, MySpace is not trying to tightly regulate people or how they describe themselves. So it is a bit of a freewheeling environment. Some people clearly are showing their own photos and being very specific about what they're doing and what they're interested in. Other people might put up a drawing or a picture of a dog for their face, so they're not really showing their real face.
Mm-hmm.
But they might still have a conversation about music they like or an issue they're interested in, and that's potentially real, and that's a way that they're engaging.
Okay, so I'm at MySpace right now, and I just clicked on groups, and now I'm at government and politics. So here's a page: President Bush is an a-hole. MySpace Democrats, MySpace Republicans, military and military supporters, support our troops, hawkish Republicans, peace and justice, 9/11 truth, and there are only 17,936 more of these.
Right.
So how do we navigate, and in particular using the recent mobilization of people around the immigration demonstrations, how did they find one another, and how does this viral connection work?
Well, what I found in particularly the California school district, where they had one of the largest walkouts, of over a quarter of students walked out in one day, is if you went back and looked at the history and how it evolved, what you saw were social networks that already existed that weren't about politics, that weren't necessarily one of those groups like you mentioned, hawkish Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that. It was more people who knew each other through schools, friends of friends, neighborhoods, geographical connections, all the normal ways that you know people.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, as this immigration issue got hot and became a visceral, big challenge to people, and particularly as students felt like the Republican Congress was trying to criminalize their parents' existence. something that had never been done before. You know, they felt this on a personal level. And students whose web pages hadn't discussed much politics prior to that suddenly started lighting up with these messages and forwarding announcements about the boycotts. So what you saw there was a natural group of friends who knew each other in the real world and had their own online discourse become a ready-built organization, a ready-built network to mobilize people, to spread a message, to talk about this issue, this immigration crackdown that the House was proposing, and then to get organized and to do something about it, to have these massive walkouts, which in California, the Associated Press reported it was one of the largest marches for any cause in recent history. So what I found in this article, and you know, if you look at it on thenation.com, is that those pre-existing networks online were activated. So that's much more grassroots than someone coming in top-down and saying, you know, here's the Peter Collins show. We want to create a group for that and then bring people to it. That would be sort of a way to come top-down.
Now, our producer, Matt Renner, is a little younger than me, and he just gave me the info to get into his MySpace space. And it reads, Matt, at the top, stop wasting your life on MySpace. Read a book. And he appears to have some pictures and videos. I'll check those out later. And then it says, Matt's interests. Politics, convincing people my age that politics is not only interesting but directly affects them. Well, that's great. So what would we do? You know, I've now mentioned on the air that Matt has a space here, and maybe some people will get curious and go try to find it. But with 76 million users, how do we provide the connectivity? You know, how do people locate this page or other pages that might have something for them?
Well, one of the reasons Matt is probably mentioning that people waste their time on there is that some young people spend hours on there a day, which is why it's a very, you know, very popular website, one of the top 10 destinations on the Internet, and was purchased for over $500 million by Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation.
That is Sir Rupert Keith Murdoch.
That's right. And you don't get that kind of traffic and that kind of interest for people popping in and popping out. I think the diversity and the plethora of pages is part of the strength. But if you're a normal, you know, a person, especially if you're an adult that doesn't plan to spend a lot of time on there and isn't habituated to it, it is overwhelming. I would say that you could search by your local city, by, mm-hmm. you know, a high school or a city, and take a look at people you know that you're going to actually know in the real world, and you can search people by their full names. You can also look according to music. You can find famous people, which is something a lot of people like. They'll connect to a rock star, you know, or a band, and they'll download some of the music or listen to songs on there. They'll maybe put that song on their own page, and they'll start finding people that are connected to them who also like that music. And one of the things that all of these social networking sites do, not just MySpace, but also the sites that are more political and Friendster and Facebook, is they all allow you to pretty quickly see your network. So you're not searching as blindly as you think. Once you set up a page and link to a couple people, mm-hmm. you can narrow it and start looking at your friends' friends.
We're talking with Ari Melber. He published this piece that's in The Nation and available at thenation.com website. I found it on the homepage. Scroll down a little ways, and you can locate it for yourself. Now, Ari, what you just told us has a couple of different elements in it. First of all, that Murdoch paid almost $600 million for MySpace, and we have all this information that people voluntarily put up about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much is Rupert Murdoch, as the owner of MySpace, able to access and aggregate this information? Because I see this as powerful data that can be mined to determine the next awful reality TV show they're going to foist on us. Right?
I think if you're part of a, you know, media empire like he is, you're incredibly interested in what people say about themselves and how they're connected and how they spend their time. And when they're spending time online, that time is money for the advertiser's perspective. So you have a lot of young people who are doing this because it's fun, but the more you know about what they buy and what they do online, the more you can tailor advertising to them, the more you can pitch them directly. One of the interesting questions that came up with the News Corporation, which owns some media properties like Fox News Channel that, you know, are not only very conservative but also very partisan. The Fox News Channel, you know, often repeats Republican talking points as facts and spins a lot of information and is criticized for that. That so far has not been a major complaint about MySpace. And what I found in researching this article is because most of the content is user-created, it would be almost impossible for anyone who might buy it to then capriciously or in a top-down manner control and change the content itself. So that hasn't happened in terms of the content. But the other part is the question you raise. The more information you put out there, the more you're allowing other people to collect it and use it. And that could be important on a personal level if you don't necessarily want everyone, as a young person, not all these 14-year-olds are thinking through all the ramifications of having photos of themselves up. There have been situations where some people, and this is by no means common, but some people have put up photos that then have implicated them in some sort of illegal activity or drinking underage, and those are issues that come up where, most egregiously, they're just showing too much about some behavior of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg because this is such a new medium.
Ari, we're going to take a break and talk more about this, give our listeners a chance to go to MySpace and check their emails, that kind of thing. We'll return in just a moment. Ari Melber is our guest. Read his article at thenation.com. If you have a question or comment about this use of the web, bring it on. 831-899-5792, or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
The Monterey County Democrats would like to set the record straight about tomorrow's election. Contrary to false claims by Republican Lou Calcagno, we do not endorse his campaign for District 2 supervisor. The Monterey County Democrats endorse Democrat Jill Lutz. Recently, the Republican Mr. Calcagno sent out a mailing featuring photos of Bill and Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, and John Edwards, and headlined with the false claim that Monterey County Democrats endorse him. The Monterey County Democrats endorse Jill Lutz. In response to the fake mailing, the chair of the California Democratic Party, Art Torres, issued the following statement about Mr. Calcagno. Quote, a person who has been registered as a Republican for over 30 years should not be using national Democratic leaders to deceive voters. End quote. Democrats can do something to restore honesty to politics. Vote. Tomorrow is Election Day. The Monterey County Democrats call on all District 2 Democrats to vote for Jill Lutz for supervisor. Paid for by the Monterey County Democratic Central Committee.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Ari Melber, who writes for The Nation magazine. You can read his piece at thenation.com. We're talking about the use of websites, including some of these personal sites like MySpace, to help with political organizing. And MySpace is credited for some of the impact of the immigration gatherings, the protests and marches that occurred starting around the Cesar Chavez holiday and culminating in early May. And, Ari, I'm one of those people who was deeply disappointed that on the third anniversary of our elective invasion of Iraq, that the crowds that turned out to protest around the nation were embarrassingly small. And then just a week later, there was an impromptu march by started by student activists, and it spread very rapidly. And that culminated in the May 1st event, which was more than a million people coast to coast. And those of us who oppose the war and would like to see average Americans speaking out are a little puzzled why that issue doesn't galvanize people as much as the immigration issue did.
I think that's a great question. And one thing that happened with immigration was you had this direct attack on the immigrants in the United States and on undocumented workers, and this real feeling that you had to stop it. And there was a deadline, and it was like, you know, you can compare that, I think, if you're looking at the evolution of a movement, you could compare that to the period in the run-up to the Iraq War. And if you make that comparison, you've got, you know, you remember you had some of the largest protests in, I believe, modern history, they were saying at the time. And that was to try to stop something, and that is when people feel the most empowered. They feel that they can do something, they can be seen, and they're standing up to stop something before it's too late. And I think that was something in common at those respective points in the movements.
Now, there are a couple of other factors. One is that the Spanish language music stations, and in particular some of their big stars like El Cucuy and Piolín, spoke out, and mostly they don't get very political. They do kind of fart jokes and kind of a Latino version of Howard Stern to some extent. But in both cases, El Cucuy and Piolín initially took some strong positions, and then it appears that their employers got to them, and they sent very muted messages about the May 1st protests.
Yeah, well, I think that the radio DJs were very influential, and they basically were able to galvanize a whole different type of support and awareness. And that was amazing at first. And again, when you look on the MySpace pages, you see that students who weren't normally interested got engaged, heard about this, and started sharing it. I think over time, if what you're describing is that there was some corporate pressure on them, that I would say that's unfortunate, because, you know, they are popular precisely because they have an audience that trusts them. And even if they don't normally do political shows, some issues you could call political, you could also call them, you know, American. You could call them human rights issues. You could call them, you know, transcendent. And this was one of those cases where I think people who weren't normally lobbying or doing, you know, a lot of marches saw this as a real important issue to jump on. And
well,
so you had that combination.
There's a decidedly Anglo fellow who does a nationally syndicated radio show. His name is Tom Likas.
Mm-hmm.
And Likas primarily talks about sex, body parts, how to score with babes, that kind of thing. And I was floored because one night I flipped him on, and he didn't talk about sex for 20 minutes. He talked about the importance of the immigration debate and how a lot of his listeners are young Latin males, and he wanted them to know that he's on their side. I found that quite interesting because I haven't heard Likas talk about anything political since he shifted his show into the erogenous zone a few years ago. Go ahead, Ari.
I was just going to say, Peter, you're also, the way you're describing that is hitting on one of the strengths of the immigration movement that I think is also fundamentally different than Iraq and other issues, which is this was a movement that spoke to people who were traditionally unempowered and ignored, minors who don't even have a vote and who feel cut off from all kinds of decision-making, undocumented workers who are disrespected and at times demagogued in our society, and a whole range of people. And this was a movement that said, come out and be seen and be counted, you know, regardless of other handicaps or issues in your life, regardless of whether you feel that, you know, you can't vote or you don't speak the language enough to go to a town hall meeting and ask questions. And I think that's really important, and I think it's a real lesson for the left, that people are scratching their heads saying, well, how do we get all these people out there? Well, radio and technology helped, but also having, a true grassroots, genuine message that welcomed everyone and welcomed the disempowered helped bring out new people.
And what about the HBO film that was shown many times during March and perhaps into April, too, I'm not sure, called Walk Out, which chronicled a protest by Latino students in Los Angeles some years ago. And I was doing my taxes one night and had the TV on just for background, and I was really captivated by that flick.
I don't think I've caught that, but I don't get cable.
Oh, okay. Well, we got to get you bumped up to a staff writer at The Nation, and maybe maybe you can afford cable.
I try to read more than watch TV.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, that film was very powerful, and I do think that it triggered some of the high school based demonstrations where people left their classrooms in March. It was around the that Monday, the 18th or 19th. At any rate, you might check that out. It was an interesting potential influence to this. Now, Ari, tell us a little bit about eSembly.com.
Sure. eSembly is a very new site that's still in a testing stage, but it was founded by a Harvard senior named Joe Green, 22 years old, started this website, now has 8 employees. And basically, it's a political MySpace. It's nonpartisan, but it has you vote on a few basic questions that they call resolves, like, should we build a wall on the border, and is President Bush un-American, and a whole range of, you know, very kind of basic yes or no questions. And as you start voting on those, you can then compare your views to other people in your network or other people you want to meet and see how you ideologically line up. And like MySpace, you can pick friends, but then they also encourage you to pick ideological allies and also, in their term, nemeses, so that you're encouraging people, particularly young people, to look beyond just those who they agree with and those who are in their geographic or social network, but also think about who is out there that they agree and disagree with.
And have you sampled this one?
Yeah, I went on there and I looked around for this story, and I found that you've got like the conservative organization, the Heritage Foundation in D.C. has a group set up for their interns, and they have another group that's larger that's encouraging people to connect based on their issues, smaller government and lower taxes.
Now, specifically to the Heritage Foundation, I don't know if you realize this, but some of their people who were interns got high-level jobs with the Coalition Provisional Authority in Baghdad and were in charge of dispensing millions of dollars, and their only, you know, connection was they'd been at the Heritage Foundation.
Wow. Well, and it's also interesting because, you know, this is a group that claims it's very very much against big federal spending, but they seem to be very cozy with the Bush administration, which is, you know, has ballooned federal spending and run a deficit and is spending billions in Iraq, which most Americans oppose. So,
and on the other side of the coin, you cite the Campaign for America's Future, Bob Borisage's group. They're hosting a conference that we'll be at in Washington next week, the Take Back America conference. And so that's just, you know, a progressive or lefty group that
right.
you might
and
be able to access through eSembly.com.
And Peter, an interesting point about Robert there is, you know, he's the director of the group. He's been around many decades and done a lot of writing and advocacy. But he still got in there like any other young person and did his voting. So if people go to eSembly.com, you know, they can look up Robert and see what they agree and disagree with him on. So he's really, you know, experimenting with that and putting himself out there and allowing people who might want to work with that campaign or get to know those folks to do it. And that's something that, you know, a couple of candidates are doing on different sites, including MySpace, is putting up their own profiles as a way to engage the youth.
Very interesting. Ben joins us from Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening. This is a scenario I'd like to run past you two guys, but I'd like you to, you have to think out of the box a little bit.
Right.
Remember under Barry McCaffrey's Plan Columbia, the CIA has a formula. Go to a given population, arm half of them, start a war, hire the half that survives to work in your factories. Here's what I'm getting to. Those people that are getting killed every day in Iraq by those so-called Shiite, whatever, death squads,
mm-hmm.
Why are we so sure those are Shiites doing that killing? It would, wherever Negroponte goes, these death squads show up. Now, you put him together with the New School of the Americas at Guantanamo, anything goes. They will kill any number of, whatever it takes to cause the flare-up. And besides, and to back up evidence with evidence what I'm saying, how does this government who put you in jail if you underpay your income taxes, how do they lose track of 200,000 AK-47s, which are Chinese-made, I believe, so somebody made money on that contract. How do you lose track of that many weaponries?
Ben, those are good questions. I'm tight for time here. Thanks a lot for joining us today. And Ari Melber, I want to thank you for a powerful article. People should read it at thenation.com.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, we'll talk again. Enjoyed it. Coming up next, open phones for half an hour. We'll talk about tomorrow's election here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A new kind of terrorism could emerge within months.
The next attack here, officials predict, will bear no resemblance to 9/11.
The Senate opens debate on banning gay marriage.
A constitutional amendment is the most democratic process by which our country can resolve this issue.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The weekend raids that broke up a plot to bomb buildings in Ontario, Canada, raised the antenna of counterterrorism officials on this side of the border. Correspondent Jim Stewart has a CBS News exclusive.
U.S. officials frankly believe that we are now as close to being hit again by terrorists as we have been for the last 5 years. Quite frankly, some of them say they would not be surprised if this happened before the end of the year.
The evidence?
They base that on the fact that in the last 11 months you've had now, counting the Canadian incident, four instances where we have wrapped up cells, people who are self-motivated and self-financed.
In recent months, homegrown terrorist plots have been uncovered in Torrance, California, Toledo, and Atlanta. Because these cells were not organized or funded by Osama bin Laden, officials believe the next attack will not be as big as 9/11, but they're convinced an attack is coming. In response to the Canadian plot, CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers reports border security has been tightened.
Border Patrol people tell us today that they have ramped up tremendously, and those are their words, the checkpoints when it comes to people and cargo going through any of the 22 official checkpoints that run between the U.S. and Canada.
Now this.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health. More specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just to guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Now you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good point. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com.
As the Senate opened debate on a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, President Bush led a pep rally at the White House. He said marriage is too important to be left in the hands of activist judges.
When judges insist on imposing their arbitrary will on the people, the only alternative left to the people is an amendment to the Constitution.
With highlights on the debate, day one, we go live to CBS News correspondent Dan Revie.
Bill, the amendment's sponsor, Wayne Allard, says if Congress doesn't act...
we abdicate our responsibility.
Another Republican, Sam Brownback, says most Americans know the healthiest kind of marriage is one father, one mother together.
And we want to encourage that optimal design.
But in Wednesday's vote, this amendment will not get the required two-thirds. Even a Republican, Arlen Specter, wondered if the majority should impose its will on gay people.
In the absence of any need for collective decision.
And the top Democrat, Harry Reid, accused President Bush of wasting the Senate's time.
This is another one of the president's efforts to frighten, to distort, to distract, and confuse America.
Live in Washington, Dan Revie, CBS News.
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke moved the market today. Stocks plunged after he told an International Monetary Conference that the Fed will be vigilant for signs of rising inflation.
This is the toughest talk we've heard yet from Bernanke regarding inflation. He actually came out in no uncertain terms and said the economy is in a transition period. It is showing signs of slowing. And at the same time, we have soaring energy prices, which is putting pressure on inflation.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. Wall Street took Bernanke's comments as a signal that the Fed is not finished raising interest rates. The Dow dropped 199 points to 11,048. So close. In her first qualifying round, Michelle Wee chipped in a birdie on the last hole for a 2-under par 68. But her game suffered the rest of the day, and right now it looks like she will not be the first woman to make the cut at the U.S. Open, at least not this year. Duke University President Richard Broadhead made a big announcement this afternoon.
I have decided to permit the resumption of men's lacrosse.
He suspended the program after a stripper told police she was raped at an off-campus team party in March. Three players have since been indicted. They've pleaded not guilty. Broadhead says the reinstatement is probationary, depending upon the behavior of the lacrosse team in the future. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Entrepreneur. Smart word. So smart, it's almost a different language. Look it up. Here at Budget Rent-A-Car, we admire entrepreneurs, and not just for their bilingual skills, but also for their courage, and for the big thinking they show by opening a small business and joining the Budget Business Program. Yes, the Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. That's $2 back every day. No wonder Budget won the 2006 Entrepreneur Magazine Business Travel Award as the best car rental value for small businesses. Such an entrepreneur thing to do. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business to sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
Welcome to the second hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today. I remain your humble host, Peter B. And there's no guest this half hour. I wanted to leave some time for listener calls, your comments on tomorrow's election, on the late-breaking hit piece, negative mailers and ugly television spots you've had to put up with. And my lines are open for you right now at 831-899-5792. Or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. If you want to get a question answered, you want to hear my point of view on voting opportunities tomorrow, I very explicitly do not tell people what I think they should do when they go to vote. But I will be happy to tell you what I plan to do, and if my opinion matters to you, that's fine. You can do with it as you wish. I like you to think for yourself, as you may know. And so if you have any questions about who you're going to try to pick tomorrow, or maybe you've narrowed it down and you want a little help, I'm happy to offer whatever you'd like to ask about. So just give us a call, and we'll discuss it over this next half hour. Coming up on the half hour, John Rowell will join us. He is a founder of JustSixDollars.org, and they are pushing for public financing of our political campaigns. This is a perfect day to talk about that because we're knee-deep in those negative mailers. I have not received so much political mail. I feel like it's been a deluge this year, much more than I have seen in the past. A lot of contested races, though, due to term limits, and primaries are where the action is, absolutely. But if you want to talk about that, I'd love to hear from you today, and that number is 888 877-579-2540. Coming up next hour, we will reprise for you a recent interview with Dr. Robin Myers, the author of the book Why the Christian Right is Wrong, and that enables me to sneak out an hour early today, and I will disclose to you what I'm up to. I have told you, at least on a couple of occasions over the last few weeks, that I have been working as a paid consultant to the campaign of Pete McCloskey. He is a moderate Republican who is running to unseat Richard Pombo, one of the most dangerous members of the House of Representatives, in my humble opinion. And so Pete McCloskey, an old friend, asked for a little help, and I'm happy to support his effort. And tonight, I will be anchoring a program that Pete McCloskey will be hosting, a radio town hall meeting that will be broadcast to this entire part of the state on a powerful radio station, KGO, in San Francisco. Many of you know the station. It's at 810 on your dial, and that'll be on from 7 to 8 p.m. this evening with Congressman Pete McCloskey. So if you want to tune that in, I invite you to do so. Some of our listeners live in that 11th Congressional District, but they're on the fringe of our signal area. Maybe you listen online. And I think it's shaped up to be a very exciting contest. And if Pete McCloskey can pull off this upset of Richard Pombo tomorrow, it will send a powerful message to the entire nation. So if you'd like to talk about any of these issues, you can get on the line now, toll-free at 1-888-579-2540, Central Coast Line, a local call at 831-899-5792. Well, it's election year. Karl Rove still hanging on to his job there at the White House, clearly advised the president that the immigration issue is not going to be sufficient to divide American voters and try to squeak out another Republican victory this November. So what do? Well, you trot out that old gay marriage threat.
Which sounds a lot like blatant homophobia to me. Happens left and right. That's why we must unite. We gotta stand and fight. That old homophobia.
Yes, the Republicans know that there are not enough votes to get a constitutional amendment passed out of the Senate. Ah, but that doesn't stop them because they're shameless. And so they trot out the tired rhetoric from 2004 about the threat to the American family posed by same-sex marriage. And they talk about, well, we know this isn't going to pass, but it's important to talk about the state of marriage in America today. And then they don't. They don't talk about the divorce rate. They don't talk about how marriage produces all kinds of psychosis and other, you know, unwanted behaviors, pathologies. And they also don't talk about, you know, the way many fine families in America operate in ways that are totally inconsistent with the defense of marriage and its alleged position, you know, as the ultimate and right choice for every heterosexual couple. And so it's just so blatantly obvious that this is being used for political purposes. But that probably won't stop the people who are receptive to the message from picking up on it. So we just have to, I guess, put up with more of this awful, awful, you know, hateful message. And hear the president intone that he wants to use the democratic process. And what's the real motivation here? To amend the Constitution to deny a group of people rights. And virtually every other amendment to the Constitution, starting with the Bill of Rights, has been to protect and defend the rights of individuals. Huh? Not so this. Steve in Salinas joins us. Good afternoon, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. I think one of the things Republicans might be afraid of with this is that if gay marriages are allowed, they might turn out to be a whole bunch more solid than straight marriages. Because if two gay people get married, they might have a whole bunch more in common and like to do more things together. I mean, how often do you go shopping for shoes with your wife?
I don't shop much, Steve.
Well, yeah, but if two women get married and they go looking for shoes, they'll go together.
Yeah.
If two men are together, they might watch football games all day.
And well,
so they
Steve,
have a whole bunch more in common, so they'll spend more time together.
Well, the whole thing is, though,
that just as we give people a zone of privacy around heterosexual marriage, I believe that, you know, Americans are entitled to a zone of privacy around any relationship that they choose to engage in. Last week on the program Culture Shocks, which airs right after me on KRXA in Monterey, Barry Lynn interviewed a woman from Blackjack, Missouri. And this is a little town where they've passed an ordinance that is carefully defined so that if three unrelated by blood individuals are living in the same house, it's a violation of local law, and they claim that you cannot have an occupancy permit. Well, the woman who is on the show is in a long-term relationship with a boyfriend that has produced three kids, so that pushes them over the limit for an occupancy permit. And this is just another example of the effort to legislate morality by people who have a pretty sorry record of upholding morality in their own public lives, much less their private lives.
Well, I totally agree with that. But I also think that gay marriages could turn out to be much more solid than straight marriages, because half of those end in divorce, and probably half of the ones that don't end in divorce, they're sticking together for the sake of the kids or something. I have a friend who doesn't want to really retire yet because they don't have to spend too much time with his wife.
Well, Trent Lott recently was complaining about the ethics reform that would require him to turn down free meals from lobbyists, and he had two complaints. One was that he'd have to eat at McDonald's, and the other is he'd have to eat with his wife.
Yeah, and
but Steve, to be honest with you, and this is not to cast aspersions on gay people, but from my experience, non-married relationships among straight people are more stable than non-married relationships among gay people, and that's something that could change. I'm not saying that it's somehow locked in and has to be that way. But based on our current societal norms and the rejection of the so-called gay lifestyle, it is very difficult for gays to have long-term, stable, and solid relationships. It's not to say it doesn't happen, but overall, the impression I have is that gay males in particular have more partners over a lifetime than most straight males do.
That wasn't my impression, but it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for your call today. We'll get back to the phones in just a moment. A quick break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're also going to acknowledge the passing of a great musician, Vince Welnick. And if you have a question or comment, you can join me right now. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on this Monday afternoon. Here's Metro Diane.
Well, we have an accident in Salinas. It's Davis Road at Hitchcock Road. Two vehicles in the roadway for that one. And there's actually injuries reported, so emergency crews are en route. Also in Salinas, West Blanco Road at Cooper Road, there's a wood pallet in the roadway. And in Castroville, Highway 1 at Moss Landing Road, reports of about 20 to 30 cases of artichokes in the lane. So the actual crates have been removed, but still a few artichokes rolling around, so watch out for that.
I'll bring the butter.
I know, those are so tasty. That's such a loss. Hollister, Bonnyview Road at Sunny Slope Road, CHP have an accident in the final clearing stages there. This report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Subterranean termites live underground. They just visit your home for takeout. Don't worry, the Orkin Man's been fighting invasions for over 100 years. For free inspection, call 1-800-ORKINMAN today. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Twenty minutes past the hour, we're taking your phone calls about tomorrow's election, about gay bashing in the United States Senate, or anything else that you'd like to talk about. Lines are open for you. 831-899-KRXA. That's 899-5792. Or call me toll free, 888-579-2540. And all that political rhetoric will be a thing of the past. According to common practice and, I believe, state law, the political commercial barrage has to end at midnight tonight. So as you go to the polls tomorrow, you'll be free of electioneering messages. At least that should be the case. And if not, cotton in your ears or a good pair of earplugs might be the good remedy. But it is a very interesting time, and I'm very curious to see how Marcy Winograd does against Jane Harmon tomorrow. I want to see this very important runoff race for the Duke Cunningham seat in Southern California in the San Diego area. And as you know, I'm very interested in seeing Richard Pombo retired by my friend Pete McCloskey, a 78-year-old Republican who came out of his retirement to try to help retire Pombo. And there are a couple of other races. We talked with Lisa Ray on Friday, the congressional candidate in District 4. If she's successful, she would take on John Doolittle this fall. And those, to me, would all be worthwhile. And as we look at the statewide races, I am still amazed that so many people tell pollsters they haven't figured out who they're going to vote for governor tomorrow. I realize that that it's a difficult choice for a lot of people. The two Democratic candidates are not that far apart on the issues, and depending on which mudslinging ad you heard recently, it might tip you in a particular direction. Mary Ann joins us from the Central Coast area this afternoon. Hello, Mary Ann. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon, Peter. I was listening Friday morning to Hal's show, and I didn't have a chance to call in. In fact, I've been busy, but I heard something that I don't need to hear on a progressive radio station. A very nice lady called in, and she said, regardless, I vote the straight Democratic ticket. And, you know, I don't care if it's vegetarian or right or left or up or down, voting a straight ticket is so mindless. It is just so mindless.
I certainly agree, and there's one guy who's counting on it, and it's Cruz Bustamante.
Yep.
And I advocate the ABC approach here, anybody but Cruz. I don't think that he has the best interests of average Californians in mind in his quest to move over to the insurance commissioner's office from lieutenant governor, where he's done absolutely nothing. And,
true.
I think that voters who vote a straight party ticket would probably just say, oh, he's a Democrat. I recognize his name. Boom.
Well, you know, I used to do those horrible calls. When I work for candidate, I work, and I'll do those awful cold calls the night before election.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard people say, I vote straight Republican, click. I vote straight Democratic, click. And to me, this is just not using your head. It's issues and individuals. And, you know, once I voted for, God help us, Bruce McPherson, because the Democratic opponent was a total putz. You know, I can't even remember the name. And I would vote for McCloskey if he were in this district in a minute. He's a
mm-hmm.
good man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I think you offer a very important point, Marianne. Now, what are you doing in the contested races for statewide office? The lieutenant governor's race, for example?
Well, I'm more interested in the governor's race.
Uh-huh.
Let's start there. It's sort of the lesser of two a-holes sometimes.
Yeah. And which is lesser in your view?
It'll have to be Angelides.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I hate the mudslinging campaigning. I hate it. And I also hate something I would love to see any candidate stop doing, which is the straw voters and the happy days are here again and the balloon drops.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, enough of it. It's dumb.
Well, I really don't take a big position on the balloons. I do think, though, that these junk phone calls that we're getting, fortunately, they so far have not come onto my cell phone. But let's see, Ed Begley Jr. called.
but these are automatics, right?
Maya Angelou is making calls for the Oakland's mayor's race.
Yeah.
And I got two calls from Steve Wesley yesterday.
Oh, in person?
Of course not.
No.
And they're called robocalls in the business, and when Steve does them, it's a capital R robo.
Well, I hang up before they get the last name out. You know, I don't listen to it. I don't want it. And I am one of those people who've done the cold calls the night before election.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, folks, I hated doing it as much as you hated receiving them.
Yeah.
But I worked for a candidate once who won by 12 votes. And, you know, sometimes I think, well, maybe I got them 11 of them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
so,
it does make a difference, and I'm glad that you're active, and I appreciate your message about not voting the straight party ticket.
Okay, well, give my best to Mr. McCloskey. I hope he wins.
Okay, thanks, Marianne.
You got it. Bye-bye.
All righty. You may have heard this song on our program before. It's called I'm Proud to Be an American. It's from the Tubes World Tour album. The Tubes were a wacky San Francisco group in the 70s and 80s. Costumes, heavy animation, video stuff, and wacky songs. White Punks on Dope was the most famous one. And Vince Welnick, who was keyboard player for the Tubes and went on to even greater fame as keyboard player for the Grateful Dead, passed away just a couple of days ago. The cause of death still not known. And may not be revealed, but he died in Los Angeles, and I just wanted to note that because I thought that he was a very talented man, and Deadheads in particular will be saddened by that loss. And one more personal item here from the Peter B. Collins desktop. It is the Borowitz Report, the fictional portion of our broadcast day. Andy Borowitz writing today, Pentagon calls Operation Instant Exoneration a success. And it reads, after the U.S. military said it had cleared of any wrongdoing a commander who led a raid on a home in the Iraqi town of Ishaka, the Pentagon announced its latest mission, dubbed Operation Instant Exoneration, had been a stunning success. At a press briefing at the Pentagon, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld revealed that Operation Instant Exoneration, in which military officers charged with wrongdoing are exonerated more swiftly than ever before, was the culmination of months of meticulous planning. We've worked hard to make our military probes faster, lighter, and more cursory than ever before, Secretary Rumsfeld said. When it's time to exonerate military personnel who've been involved in raids or massacres, we believe we now have what it takes to hit the ground running. Secretary Rumsfeld noted that the military's probe of the Ishaki raid had set a new world speed record for exonerations, but added that the military would try to beat that record when it came time to probe the killings in Haditha. We exonerated the commander at Ishaki pretty darn quickly, but a record like that is made to be broken, Rumsfeld said. Acknowledging that some innocent civilians had perished in both incidents, Rumsfeld said he'd send out a memo to commanders to clear up apparent confusion about the war's actual objective. Operation Iraqi Freedom does not mean making the country free of Iraqis. Elsewhere, restaurants could help fight obesity by serving smaller portions, according to a new study published today in Duh magazine. Coming up next, John Rao joins us to talk about public financing of elections. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
The Monterey County Democrats would like to set the record straight about tomorrow's election. Contrary to false claims by Republican Lou Calcagno, we do not endorse his campaign for District 2 supervisor. The Monterey County Democrats endorse Democrat Jill Lutz. Recently, the Republican Mr. Calcagno sent out a mailing featuring photos of Bill and Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, and John Edwards, and headlined with the false claim that Monterey County Democrats endorse him. The Monterey County Democrats endorse Jill Lutz. In response to the fake mailing, the chair of the California Democratic Party, Art Torres, issued the following statement about Mr. Calcagno. Quote, "A person who has been registered as a Republican for over 30 years should not be using national Democratic leaders to deceive voters." End quote. Democrats can do something to restore honesty to politics. Vote. Tomorrow is Election Day. The Monterey County Democrats call on all District 2 Democrats to vote for Jill Lutz for supervisor. Paid for by the Monterey County Democratic Central Committee.
Do you care about issues affecting the working men and women of our community? Health care, immigration, the warmerization of our economy, social justice issues in general.
If you care, there's a show for you. It's called Labor Matters, hosted by Jose Mendez and myself, Ren Bradley. Please join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon.
Don't give up the fight.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm glad you're listening. Whether it's on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, or Carmel by the Sea, maybe you're listening to KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, or our new stations, KSAC 1240, Sacramento, and KPHX, KPHX 1480 in Phoenix, Arizona. Coming up next hour, it's a reprise of a recent conversation with Dr. Robin Myers here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's the author of a powerful new book called Why the Christian Right is Wrong. And as we've been discussing, tomorrow is primary election day here in California, and we have seen the wretched excess already. More than $60 million spent by the two top candidates for governor, and Arnold doesn't have to spend a penny because he's unopposed so far. He shot his wad in the special elections last year when we saw the gross usage of corporate money to try to jam ballot measures on the public in California, which was entirely rejected by the voters. Joining us now to talk about a campaign for public financing is John Rao, and you can get more information at his website, just6dollars.org. John, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Terrific. Glad to be with you.
Nice to talk to you, sir, and I've got $6 out here on the table right now. But before we get down to that business, I did a little research, and I found out that you and I have something in common.
What's that, Peter?
It's the Queen City.
No kidding. What's your relationship with Cincinnati?
Yes, we both escaped from Cincinnati, Ohio.
When did you leave?
1970.
What were you doing there?
I went to high school, and then I said, this is a Republican machine town with way too much humidity.
Well, I was in Cincinnati till 1986, was born there. And actually, I was head of Cincinnati's Independent Reform Party, the Charter Party.
I read about that, and I remember the Charter Party very well. It was the one thing that gave us a little hope in that Republican machine town.
It's the oldest municipal reform party in America, founded in the early 20s by, among others, President William Howard Taft's younger son, Charlie Taft. And it still exists, Peter. Of the nine on city council, two are Charterites at this point.
I didn't realize that.
But when I was head, I'm really proud to say we elected the first black mayor of Cincinnati, Ted Berry, and the first woman mayor, Bobby Stern.
Yeah.
And that's where I learned that you can have a good set of values and be a political party.
Well, and you operated there against tremendous odds because not only Ohio, but Cincinnati in particular, has been captive to the Republicans for aeons. And, you know, the Democrats, I'll put it this way. My dad was a Democrat in Cincinnati, and he wrote a check to the LBJ campaign in 1964. And it was such big news that he and the three other people who had written checks in Cincinnati were featured in a story on the front page of that awful newspaper, The Inquirer.
I got a hunch, Peter, you're a liberal.
Yeah, I guess
I'm
you're right.
I'm a Democrat, Peter, but on the phone today, I'm a citizen. And Americans for Campaign for Reform, the Justice Campaign, is strictly nonpartisan. Our honorary chairs on the Republican side, as you know, are Alan Simpson and Warren Rudman.
Yeah.
And on the Democratic side, Bob Kerry and Bill Bradley. So this is a nonpartisan effort to change the way we finance our federal elections.
Well, and let me just cite this, and then I want you to take a couple of minutes to describe what we could do for just $6 per person.
All right.
I remember quite vividly what took down the career of a fine senator from California, Alan Cranston. He got tied up with Charlie Keating, another great Cincinnati guy. And
that was facetious, I hope.
Well, yeah.
And I understand you're on in Phoenix. That's where Charlie lives.
Yeah, Charlie's still there, the jailbird. At any rate, what happened was that Charlie Keating was buying politicians to protect his unethical operation of savings and loans, and he got John McCain and Alan Cranston and three others to go to special meetings to intervene with the regulators and to try to fix his problems. And it's interesting because nobody brings that up when they talk about John McCain these days, but it is, in my view, an important part of his history. And Cranston learned the lesson, and I remember a speech he gave on the Senate floor. He said, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." He said, "Get money out of politics, or we will all regret it."
Well, I think that experience with the Keating Five influenced Senator McCain, let's give credit where credit is due. John McCain has done a superb job of putting in front of the American people the problems with the current private financing system. And Senator McCain backed public funding when Arizona put in public funding for their governor on down for all their state elections. Arizona and Maine are the two states right now that publicly fund their state elections, and they're doing well. So Senator McCain... Go ahead.
You are correct about McCain in that respect, but it's also fair to say that the clean money referenda that passed in Arizona a couple of years ago is under serious attack right now. There's an effort to repeal it outright.
That's correct, and from what I understand, when that goes to a referendum vote, Senator McCain will be there supporting public funding. Mm-hmm. Right now, however, of course, he's got something else on his mind as he runs for the presidency.
So $6 per person, is this per year?
This is $6 per person per year. The $6, Peter, is strictly a marketing message. We can publicly fund all federal elections, that's the House, the Senate, and the White House, for a little under $2 billion a year, about $1.8 billion a year. And if you divide that by all of us, 300 million citizens, you come up with $6 per citizen per year. After losing a race to the United States Senate in New Hampshire, I went on the board of Common Cause, and studied it. I learned how inexpensive it would be to publicly fund all federal elections. Earmarks, which we commonly call pork, are running $200 a citizen a year, or $64 billion. Compare $200 for pork per citizen per year with the $6, and it's a no-brainer.
Well, the other thing is we recently did an analysis on this program about the estate tax, which is dubbed the death tax. And progressives have countered with what they call the birth tax. And that is the share of the deficit that is due and payable for each American, including those who are just being born this year. And that amounts to $3,000 per person.
Right. So I think you'll find that public funding of federal elections will save money. Clearly, it will lower the level of pork. It won't eliminate it. But I'll tell you why I'm doing this. Because clearly the voters want to get control again, and the special interests using donations are getting far too much influence over policy. I'm doing this because I believe we're going to need the very finest leaders we can find, Peter, to meet these dramatically difficult challenges this country faces, and frankly the world. And we're still the world leader. With public funding, we can pick our political leaders from wherever we wish. We don't have to just go to that tiny pool of people who have the money or the contacts to the money or a famous name. And if you think of searching for the head of a corporation, the head of a labor union, the head of a college, and to limit yourself in that search for that leadership to this tiny pool, makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense. And when I saw how cheap it was, when I saw that it could work, meaning that if we publicly fund at a high enough level for voters to really learn about a publicly funded candidate and make their choice, that somebody with great wealth above it cannot buy that election, I said, hey, this is the answer. And out there in California where you have the Schwarzenegger situation, I just want to repeat what I just said. You cannot buy an election. You can lose an election because you don't run. Or you can lose an election because you don't have the resources, financial resources, for the voters to learn enough about you to make their choice. But above that high level of funding, private funding can't trump the public funded candidate.
Talking with John Rauh, R-A-U-H. He is the founder of this campaign for public funding called the Americans for Campaign Reform. They're on the web at just six, the number six, justsixdollars.org. And I think it's a very powerful concept. Now, John, you mentioned that you ran for the Senate there in New Hampshire, a small state.
Right.
But it can be expensive because the media, if I'm correct, comes in from Boston and from Portland, Maine, right?
That's right. The if you want to run for governor or a statewide race in New Hampshire today, we're only 1,200,000 people. It's about $3 million for an unknown candidate to really for the voters to really learn about that individual. And for us, that's the criteria.
Uh-huh. And when you ran, what was the most difficult part of the fundraising aspect, John?
Oh, dialing strangers for dollars is unbelievable. It's demeaning, Peter. Absolutely demeaning. I'll never forget one month there. I was sitting next to, in Washington, I hired the same fundraising consultant as Senator Paul Simon, a wonderful, God bless Paul Simon,
sure,
from Illinois. He's no longer alive. And Paul Simon, the United States Senator, I'm nothing but a little candidate. And we're sitting there dialing strangers for dollars. And after Paul would finish 2.5, 3 hours, 3 days a week, he'd slam down that phone and say, John, this is revolting, isn't it? And he got elected and quit and went home to teach. And if you listen to our honorary chairs, Al Simpson, Warren Rudman, Bill Bradley, Bob Kerry, they'll tell you how, even as the United States Senator, how demeaning it is. And Al Simpson talks about what it's like come late afternoon, you know, when you really need some senators to get to work, to do some work, and they're leaving. They're going downtown to fundraisers, or they're going off to dial strangers for dollars. Right now, the Congress works 3 days a week. It's not been that way in the past. So I think we can change it. You can't guarantee with public funding you're going to elect all the best. But I think it's so inexpensive, it works, that it makes sense. I think the probability is that we're going to find more of our best able leaders this way than with this current restrictive private funding system.
Well, I certainly see the case for that. We're going to continue in just a moment. John Raw is our guest. And if you have a comment about public financing of campaigns or a question, get on the line right now. 831-899-5792, Central Coast, or toll free 1-888-579-2540. Right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
No matter where you are in Monterey County, you deserve to be in a safe environment. Robert Owen, who is running for Monterey County Sheriff, has concern about the recent serious injuries sustained by inmates within the Monterey County Jail. Robert Owen is a dedicated, long-term employee of the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen has worked as a jail sergeant for over 26 years and has 31 years of service as a Monterey County Sheriff. Robert Owen is concerned about the retention of deputies in the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen is so concerned that he is running for Monterey County Sheriff and personally financing his campaign. He will not be obligated to any special interest groups.
This is Robert Owen, and I am asking for your vote for Monterey County Sheriff on June 6th.
Your vote matters. On June 6th, please vote Robert Owen, Monterey County Sheriff.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays, in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
KRXA traffic time, 4:47 now. We get the latest from Metro Diane.
Well, we have an accident in Santa Cruz, southbound 1 after Emmeline Avenue. A solo vehicle actually spun out, is now facing the northbound direction. Unknown if it's blocking any lanes, so CHP en route to check that out. In Salinas, Davis Road at Hitchcock Road, we have a two-vehicle accident in the roadway. Also in Salinas, Barrondo Road at San John Road, we have an injury accident. A car actually went off the roadway and landed in a ditch. And finally, in Gilroy, southbound 101 before Castro Valley Road, we have a two-vehicle accident. Both vehicles have been moved out of the roadway and onto the right-hand shoulder. This report is brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back with you in half an hour. Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning right here on KRXA. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and with tomorrow being primary election day, the barrage of political advertising will end. Perhaps you haven't had enough, though.
The following is paid propaganda from the committee to vote yes on no, with major funding from whining fat cats, trust fund yuppies, and PR firms with very flexible ethics. If you're like me, you're tired of being blasted on the radio and the TV with heavy-handed, one-sided political commercials. Our committee is sponsoring a write-in ballot proposition for this November's election that'll let you say no to agitprop from big oil, big booze, big business, and big mouth political consultants. It's Proposition Zero, the proposition to end all future propositions. When you go into the voting booth, just write in Proposition Zero, then vote yes on the no proposition proposition. Your yes vote will say no to the tactics of distortion, lies, innuendo, and personal attack. Your yes vote means no more tricky counter-propositions from the industries threatened by other propositions on the same ballot. Your yes vote means no more fees to corporate law firms trying to rewrite the laws to suit their deep pocket clients. And your yes vote means no more insulting radio and TV ads with bad dialogue. If you're the kind of voter who answers no opinion when the pollsters call, Proposition Zero will fully protect your constitutional right to have no opinion and keep it to yourself. So forget everything else you've heard and just say no to it all. Vote yes on Proposition Zero.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We are still gathering signatures to qualify Proposition Zero for the ballot. I'm sure we'll get over the hump soon. We continue with John Rao. He is the founder of this group to change the funding of our campaigns in this country, Americans for Campaign Reform. Visit their website again. It is just6dollars.org. Six is the number. Everything else is spelled out. Just6dollars.org. And do we have any examples that you can offer us, John, on how this works and to what extent, given the Buckley versus Valeo decision from the Supreme Court, which in simple terms equates money with free speech, how do we create a public financing system that doesn't allow a millionaire or a billionaire to blow past it and outspend an opponent who is not a millionaire or billionaire?
Well, first, into examples of where it's working well would be Arizona and Maine, as I indicated before. In Maine, for example, over 75% of their state legislators are now elected with public funding and just delighted with it. In Arizona, the new governor, Janet Napolitano, the new Democratic governor, ran with public money in Arizona. Her opponent turned down public money, used private money, and lost. And Governor Napolitano, extremely positive about public funding. As she says, you know, when the lobbyists come to see me, I learn a lot. But they keep their wallets, and they don't use their wallets. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But you asked about Buckley versus Valeo, and one of the important aspects of that decision by the Supreme Court in the 1970s, as you indicated, Peter, was that the court said you cannot limit total spending by a candidate, that that violated the right to speech. Well, whether you agree with that or not, public funding survives and does well anyway. As I said before, if we publicly fund a candidate at a high enough level for the voters to learn about that candidate and make their choice, someone who spends much more money does not have an advantage. If you were worth $3 or $4 billion, like a Perot or a Forbes, and you could buy the White House for $1 billion or $2 billion, you still have enough for breakfast. You cannot buy an election. The media is wrong here. They play up that elections being bought. When I first went to see Senator Bradley to discuss this, we discussed the Senator Corzine situation in New Jersey. Senator Gorzine, for the first time, a Goldman Sachs chair, spent $60 million, and Frank spent $7 million. It was a tie. It was 2 or 3 points. It was nothing. Mm-hmm. Senator Clinton, way outspent by Lazio. I could go through race after race where someone tried to buy it, but if the challenger has enough, he's not or she's not at disadvantage. The problem is, Peter, we have almost no challengers that have enough, so we don't have any competition.
Well, we have a situation here in California. The primary tomorrow, the Democratic primary, features two millionaires. One is Phil Angelides, who I think his net worth is in the range of about $15 million. And then there's the multimillionaire, Steve Westley, whose fortune is pegged at somewhere north of $250 million. He has pumped $32 million of his own money into the campaign and only raised $3 million from other individuals. Angelides doesn't have the same net worth, but pumped $1.5 million of his own money in, raised about $15 million from other individuals. And to try to close the gap, some friends of his have formed a very large independent expenditure campaigns that have spent another $8 million on behalf of Angelides. So he's coming close in terms of the direct and indirect spending of competing with Westley. And the net effect, the net effect, John, is that it's turned everybody off, that the messages on TV appear to be, you know, subconsciously at least, designed to limit turnout by just making people disgusted with both campaigns.
I think that's right. I think overspending turns people off. But when that race is over, Peter, and you analyze it, let me give you a suggestion. Take a look and see which candidates had enough financial resources for the voters to learn about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know California better than I do, so come up with that number. How much do you need for a relatively unknown candidate for the voters to make their choice? And I think what you will find is that anybody who spends more than that amount really gained almost nothing from those additional expenditures. Take a look at it when it's over.
Yeah.
We're finding, I've studied every federal election in this country for the last 20 years. I can find no election where the delta between high enough, as just described, and much more made the difference.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is challengers either don't run because they don't have can't raise the money, or they don't have enough.
Yeah. And back in 2002, we had an interesting race here with a three-way race for Governor Al Checky, the millionaire former CEO of Northwest Airlines, I think spent about $34 million. Jane Harman, who is independently wealthy, currently in the House, she spent $10 to $15 million. And then Gray Davis, who is not personally wealthy, just sold his soul. In order to raise enough money to compete with them, he won that election but was recalled just about a year later because people were so disgusted by the way he had to sell himself out to compete financially with his opponents.
Well, with public funding, there won't be the selling yourself out.
All right, John, so what are the steps we need to take to support your efforts at Americans for Campaign Reform and to build consensus around this important issue?
Well, the steps that need to be taken is to join us to mount a nationwide citizens' movement to pressure Congress to do it. Peter, as you know, the Congress is not going to publicly fund its own elections on their own. There's some awfully good people there, but let's be frank, they don't want the competition. So it's going to take a grassroots citizen movement, and I ask your listeners who are interested in this movement to join us by going to our website, just$6, the number six, everything else spelled out, just$6.org. Signing up, joining our movement will keep you up to date in what we're doing. We'll ask for a little support here and there in your communities to talk it up. It's going to take a huge grassroots movement. It won't happen tomorrow. But ultimately, the citizens of this country are going to demand this kind of reform, and that's what she's going to take.
Yeah. And so given that we can't expect the Congress to limit itself, how do we impose that on them? We don't currently have a national referendum process.
We do not have a national referendum process as you do in California. It's quite simple, Peter. Mr. or Mrs. Congressperson, here's the facts out in your district. If you don't support public funding, you lose. That's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
It's called
votes. We got to play hardball with them.
It's called votes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to put the public back in control, and it begins with the public taking control of this issue, and then they, not big money, will be in control of the policy of this nation.
But won't savvy, cynical politicians always expect that the money will find its way into campaigns one way or another? We saw the 527s in the 2004 cycle. And don't they take a cynical view that money allows you to manipulate more voters than you can, you know, than the good government groups and grassroots efforts can marshal?
I think you will find, even with public funding, that money will, as you indicate, find its way. In independent expenditures, private money will be there. But it go again to the key point to understanding public funding. If we publicly fund Sam or Sally at that high enough level, okay, let the independent expenditures come along. But be sure the candidate has enough to respond. And much money above that point doesn't make a difference. What we're seeing is the candidates just don't have enough to respond, so of course the money prevails. Mm-hmm. But it will not. Let it happen. I'll put it like this. Public funding cherishes speech. It says, let the debate take place. There is no value in America more beautiful than speech. Let the talk take place. Pro-life, pro-choice, what have you.
All right, John, thank you very much. We're out of time here. John Rauh, R-A-U-H, is the founder of Americans for Campaign Reform. The website, again, just6dollars.org. Thank you, John. Coming up next, Dr. Robin Myers, why the Christian right is wrong, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. U.S. counterterrorism officials are frantically trying to connect the dots. CBS News correspondent Jim Stewart reports they see a pattern in the Canadian bombing plot that was broken up over the weekend and a case last summer in which Muslim converts allegedly robbed gas stations in Torrance, California to finance a plot to bomb Army recruiting stations.
Because of that and two other incidents in the United States in recent months, U.S. officials frankly believe that we are now as close to being hit again by terrorists as we have been for the last 5 years. Quite frankly, some of them say they would not be surprised if this happened before the end of the year.
Officials say they don't expect the next attack to be as spectacular as 9/11 because it would likely be carried out by a homegrown terrorist cell not connected to Osama bin Laden. Fighter jets scrambled late today when a small single-engine plane strayed into the restricted airspace over Washington. The plane was escorted to an airport in Maryland. Officials say the pilot was not a security threat. As the Senate opened debate on banning gay marriage, President Bush gathered supporters at the White House to make the case for a constitutional amendment.
It would take the issue away from the courts and put it directly before the American people.
Colorado Senator Wayne Allard is sponsoring the amendment.
Two women or two men simply do not meet the criteria for marriage, as it has been defined for thousands of years.
They intend to stir up an election year fight and use it as a campaign tool and a political strategy.
That's Vermont Democrat Patrick Leahy saying Allard and his fellow Republicans are staging the debate to score points with conservative voters. The back and forth continues tomorrow. Wall Street had that sinking feeling today. The Dow fell 199 points to close at 11,048. CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason.
What's happening, you can basically blame it on the two I's, Iran and inflation. First, concerns about Iran disrupting flow of oil throughout the Middle East. And secondly, the Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, who's come out publicly now saying he is significantly worried about inflation, and that could lead to further interest rate hikes.
Bernanke got much of the blame for today's sell-off. He told an international monetary conference that the Fed will be vigilant about inflation, and that was taken as a hint that rates will rise again later this month. The price of oil rose to $72.60 a barrel today. 16-year-old Michelle Wee has failed in her bid to become the first woman to play in the U.S. Open. She finished her final qualifying rounds with a disappointing 1 over par, 143 overall. Keep those kids in their car seats as long as you can. A study at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia found that in a serious crash, young children are safer strapped in a seat than just buckled in a seatbelt. Kids between the ages of 2 and 6 were 28% less likely to be killed in a crash if they were in a car seat. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
Even with today's modern engines, an oil change every 3 months or 3,000 miles is still the most important maintenance you can do. And right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Valvoline conventional motor oil for just $1.99 per quart. Plus, you can get a sweatshirt featuring characters from the Disney Pixar movie Cars, free by mail, with any case purchase of Valvoline motor oil. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
What tobacco issues are important to you?
I do not want my kids to smoke.
Last night, Sarah went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
I knew I needed a few tips on what to say and how to say it if my message was going to sink in.
If you're a parent who'd like help starting the conversation with your kids about not smoking and handling peer pressure, expert advice and information is available online. Find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
With mortgage rates rising, home building has slowed down, but not home building for charity. Habitat for Humanity is on a building blitz with plans to put up 400 houses this week.
I'm Heather Bosch in Tacoma.
Got to prop the old wood walls up.
Where contractors are helping low-income families build their own homes. Without this Habitat for Humanity project, Akilia Farb says she and her husband wouldn't have a home.
Not with our large family and limited income.
In addition to their two kids?
We inherited five when my mom passed away.
So you took in some brothers and sisters?
Yes, five siblings.
She says families are getting help building homes and a better future. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Tacoma, Washington.
Celebrity dads don't do diapers. At least that's true of Donald Trump and Adam Sandler, who both have newborns. Trump says he doesn't change his son Barron because he'd do it wrong. Asked about changing his infant daughter, Sandler said, "I see that go on." I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
This is Dr. Drew Pinsky. Some of you may know me as Dr. Drew. Today's topic is men's sexual health. More specifically, performance problems. And we've got a brave guy on the line.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm even calling, because it's not really an issue. It only happens every once in a while, like when I'm tired or stressed out, a little under the weather.
Just a guess, but are we talking about erectile dysfunction?
Oh, no, not ED. Just a very occasional little glitch. Yeah, I'd call it an erectile glitch.
Well, a lot of guys don't realize it, but ED may not happen all the time. It can be unpredictable.
Now you mention it, I never know when it's going to happen.
And that's something you want to live with?
Good point. I'll talk to my doctor.
To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit JustAskToday.com.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Our quadracast is underway in Monterey, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Eureka. And joining me this hour is the author of a powerful new book called Why the Christian Right is Wrong. He's Dr. Robin Myers.
With him in all his glory, what would you ask?
Our thanks to Joan Osborne. I think it's a great song to imagine if God were one of us. The Reverend Robin Myers, the pastor of the Mayflower UCC Church in Oklahoma City. He's visited on our program before, and I have had the pleasure of knowing him for 6 or 7 years now. I met him through a program that I used to produce called Interfaith Voices that airs on public radio stations. And it's been part of my quest for a few years now to find a way to get Dr. Myers in touch with a wider audience, because I believe that he has a lot of powerful ideas that need to be heard by mainstream Americans and provide an important balance or counter to religious fundamentalism in our country. With that said, Robin Myers, welcome to our program today.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be back.
And congratulations on the new book.
Thank you, sir.
I know you've been working very hard on this, and it's now out, and it's time for you to talk about it. It's called Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. And this came out of a somewhat impromptu speech that you gave, and this book is really an annotated expansion on the thoughts you expressed at an anti-war rally in Oklahoma just a few years ago.
That's right. Of all places, Oklahoma, one of the reddest of the states, I got invited to give my opinion on whether the Bush administration were the guardians of Christian moral values in our time, and I don't think they are, and also to express my opinion on the war in Iraq, which I opposed from my pulpit and in newspaper columns for a long time before the war ever started. And I simply put down a brief speech to give to OU students one night, and we had a candlelight vigil afterwards, and a couple of students came up and asked for a copy of the speech, and they went home and transcribed it and started sending it out. And before you knew it, it had become this internet phenomenon, and I was getting hundreds of emails from all over the country and around the world from people who said, this is exactly how I've been feeling. This is exactly what I needed someone to help me say or to express. And then a literary agent called from New York City and said, they're talking about this speech in New York, every place I go to a party, and you need to expand it into a book. So I had no plans to write this book. This book was not proposed by me, but sort of demanded of me, which is a whole different experience for me. It's just been really incredible, and the book, you know, is just out there all over the place, and my life has kind of changed because of it. And I'm going on a book tour this summer, going to go all over the country, so it's going to be really exciting, and I hope I can get some people thinking in new ways.
Yeah. Radio is nonlinear, so if you don't mind, I want to jump around the book during this hour. I want to invite people to call and offer your comments to Dr. Myers at any moment. 831-899-5792 is our line on the Central Coast, and you can call me toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S. at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And they sent me an extra copy of the hardcover edition of the book, so it goes to the fourth caller who checks in this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Dr. Myers, I was struck by so much in your book. I have pages bent back, marginal notes. I took it on a plane ride, and it just hit me in so many ways. We could probably talk for 4 or 5 hours. But I want to go straight to the F-bomb. And this is not Dick Cheney's F-bomb. This is a very important word, and its usage is something that is delicate but yet warranted, in my view, in this era. And that F word is fascism.
Uh-huh.
And you write in Chapter 10, one of the most controversial columns I've ever written for the Oklahoma Gazette was titled Using the F Word. It was an attempt to get readers to understand that fascism is not solely reserved for goose-stepping, jackbooted Nazis. There is a Christian fascism on the rise in America, and the signs are unmistakable. What are those signs, Robin Myers?
Well, there, of course, I list in the book the 14 characteristics of fascism that a political scientist named Lawrence Britt recently wrote about. And when you hear them read, you realize every single one of them are evident and ascendant in the country. They are powerful in continuing nationalism, disdain for the recognition of human rights.
Gitmo?
Uh-huh. Identification of enemies and scapegoats as a unifying cause, terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, supremacy of the military.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Number five, rampant sexism. Number six, controlled mass media, like, oh, say, Fox News.
Yeah.
Number seven, obsession with national security, duh.
Yep.
Number eight, religion and government intertwined. That does not need comment. Number nine, protection of corporate power. Number 10, suppression of labor power.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11, disdain for intellectuals and the arts.
Yeah, they use fuzzy math.
Fuzzy math. And what do they produce, really? They don't make anything. So it's just all aesthetics, and you can't really cash that in. For what can you do with a painting, actually?
Right, and it's number all that fake science of global warming, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Number 12, obsession with crime and punishment.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number 13, rampant cronyism and corruption. That would be you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. And number 14, and the last one, fraudulent elections.
Wow, now, we've got a dead match.
All of it. Every single thing that this political scientist says represents fascism in any country at any time are all evident in this country now. And I know that word's offensive to people, but it has to be said because there is a Christian fascism on the rise in America.
Mm-hmm.
You've got people like James Dobson saying things like the judiciary are vermin in black robes. The Da Vinci Code is a demonic plot. You know, Pat Robertson advocates the assassination of Hugo Chavez. Jerry Falwell, who knows what he said.
Jimmy Swaggart. Gays and the ACLU for 9/11.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Swaggart said if a gay man looks at him a certain way, he'll kill him and tell people God did it.
And let's not leave out Fred Phelps. We've talked him before. He's the Neanderthal from Topeka, Kansas, who runs the website God Hates Fags.
Yeah.
Something.
Well, yeah. And he's been showing up at military funerals with the incredible at a time when, of course, families are grieving, to hold up placards that indicate that the reason they died and that America is losing the war in Iraq is that we have tolerated too much homosexuality. Fred Phelps is a sad, sad man, sick man.
Indeed. So what is your proposal, first of all, to alert people to creeping fascism? As you pointed out, it's a term that many people cannot accept as a definition of the United States under any circumstances.
Well, no, because all they think about is Nazi Germany. And if that is their only model, then they're handicapped. But the central definition of fascism is corporate control. That is control by big business, which is in collusion with government and then seeks the blessing of the church. That's the real definition of fascism. All those other things are interesting. But clearly we have a situation in which we have a CEO as President of the United States, and that CEO thinks of the world in entitlement ways. He thinks that riches are he deserves them. And that laws are for him to break if it's the right thing to do, and that he is the true patriot and the true Christian. And it's just a kind of insular thinking that really all tyrants have manifested in all time. And I just want people to wake up. I am as big a patriot as they come, Peter. I mean, I sing America the Beautiful, and it's impossible for me not to get teary-eyed every single time. This country has stood for some tremendous things, but we have lost our soul, and we have got to get it back. And that the first thing is people just have to wake up and say, you know, I've been asleep for a long time. I've been watching Fox News. I've been just entertaining myself, and I've been believing the lies that have been told to me. And the fact of the matter is we are in a hell of a mess.
Well, we certainly are. We'll pick up there as we continue with Dr. Robin Myers. The new book is called Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. If you have a question or comment, get on the line right now, 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We'll be right back. Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The air we breathe, clean water, our coastline, our parks. The environment is important to all of us, and we should all be offended by Steve Wesley's attempt to smear Phil Angelides with false attacks. The truth, the Sierra Club, the League of Conservation Voters, Vote the Coast, Clean Water Action, and every other major environmental group have endorsed Phil Angelides for his commitment to protect the environment. The Sierra Club said Phil Angelides would be the greenest governor California's ever had. California's teachers, firefighters, and so many others we trust have all endorsed Phil Angelides. Barbara Boxer says only Phil Angelides will fully fund our schools. And Dianne Feinstein summed it up saying, it's Phil Angelides who'll put California back on track. On Tuesday, reject Steve Wesley's false attacks and vote for a governor who will do what's right for California and our environment. Phil Angelides, a governor we can count on.
Paid for by Angelides 2006.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
This hour of the PBC show is a replay, but the traffic is real. And here with the real traffic is the one, the only, Metro Diane.
Well, we're going to start in Salinas. Southbound 101 at Highway 183, we have a three-vehicle accident. It's actually three pickup trucks involved. One truck is on the right-hand shoulder and two are in the center divide, so it might be causing a bit of a visual hazard. Also in Salinas, Davis Road at Hitchcock Road, we have a two-vehicle accident in the roadway there. In Santa Cruz, northbound 1 before Morrissey Boulevard, watch out for an oil slick in the right-hand lane, so definitely slow it down through there. Santa Cruz, northbound 1 before Morrissey Boulevard. This report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Subterranean termites live underground. They just visit your house for takeout. Don't worry, the Orkin man's been fighting invasions for over 100 years. For free inspection, call 1-800-ORKINMAN today. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane.
Or shop REI.com.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire. I'll send you to
learn. Fire. I'll send you to learn. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Well, that's one image of God from the late, great, crazy world of Arthur Brown, circa 1968. And we're stuck with fire and brimstone here today. We're talking about the new book by Dr. Robin Myers, Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. And Dr. Myers, as I read your book, I noted some repeated references to the strong father figure. as you described some of the nuances and the structure, I guess, the internal structure of the religious right. And it's interesting because it parallels the work of George Lakoff, the UC Berkeley professor of linguistics, who has been trying to educate the left on the use of language and framing. Talk about how you view the Strong Father and how it infiltrates the work of the religious right.
I actually borrowed, cited George Lakoff directly in explaining the Republican Party's approach to governing and to their religious sensibilities are like what Lakoff calls the strict father morality.
Mm-hmm.
There is it's a patriarchal worldview. The father is in control. The last thing that you want to do is be too nurturing or too forgiving or too patient or too compassionate with your children, because obviously that will spoil them. And if you spoil, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. They have the same view of government's relationship to people. If we help them too much, we will spoil them. And they have the same theology of God. God is this kind of lawgiver and judge. And if you're a good little boy or girl, you'll get rewarded. But if you're bad, you'll get punished. And you're never going to get indulged, forgiven, coddled, loved or nurtured, because that's what he says Democrats are, the nurturing parent model. And we live in a time when it is much easier for the media to capitalize on models based on fear. So the strict father morality, whether it's in government policy or in theology, works well for our time. After 9/11, all you got to do is say to people that there are people out there that are going to hurt us, and we need to be tough, and that sells better on TV than let's talk. Let's try to understand each other. Let's do cross-cultural exchanges. Let's do diplomacy. So it's really two very different worldviews. The Republicans have cashed in on this very nicely, and the Democrats have not learned how to put their program into action.
Yeah. And this is hard for many progressives to detect, because we can't imagine, idealizing George W. Bush as a father figure.
Well, no.
He can't even pronounce nuclear right.
No, and the sad truth about the president is that he is an unrecovered alcoholic. He is drinking. He has a habit of flipping people off. He's been caught doing that a few times on camera. Most of the time he's careful about it. But remember, this is from the savior of Western civilization. This is from the moral exemplar, the person who is going to restore integrity to the White House. And it's a sad, sad, sad situation.
Billy joins us from Capitola. Hello, Billy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm giving you a copy of Dr. Meyer's book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it, although I could have written it. In fact, just yesterday I was trying to convince a friend of mine that we should write a book together, and I was telling him if we can just come up with the right title, we got a bestseller. And the one title that I didn't mention to him, because I was so sure it had already been used, was Why the Christian Right is Wrong. It just seemed like it was inevitable. But here's what the next line needs to be. Why the Christian Right is Wrong and Why We'll Never Beat Them. And here's why we'll never beat them. Somehow, not only is the Christian right wrong, but they're also the biggest, they're the greediest people on earth and the most hypocritical people on earth. What is it about being a Christian like, well, Tom DeLay or Jerry Falwell? We're talking about Baker. We're talking about people whose need for power and money is shocking, and they always put Jesus right up front. They're anti-democratic. They actually don't like democracy because they believe that God should rule, not man. And as far as I'm concerned, they're what's wrong with this country.
Well, I suspect that Dr. Meyer shares your definition of the problem, but he has a slightly brighter view of the future. In fact, chapter 11 of his book is, go ahead, Doctor.
Well, I have to, I'm a Christian minister holding forth in one of the most conservative places on earth, and I've built a church here over 20 years that is progressive and liberal, and I perform same-sex marriages. And
I've heard that such things existed. It's just, you can't seem to get into the media. The only, as you point out, we only see the angry father face of Christianity.
Well, of course,
I'm a person who constantly tries to belittle Christians as much as possible. But really, I should make the point that I'm only trying to belittle the Christians who think the culture of life is about abortion and not about feeding children already alive.
Well, of course. Of course. And you have to understand that the media responds to conflict, to anger, to threats. We're living in a soundbite world, and people who think critically and who use reason and logic, they just don't soundbite as well.
You also can't. They're not capable of having the courage that it takes to criticize the mainstream religion. And let's face it, 80% of us are you guys.
Well, I've criticized mainstream religion. I think the church has been hijacked in our time. That's what the book is about. I think that people have to wake up to the fact that it hasn't always been this way. One of the reasons I'm hopeful, besides I'm a minister, so I'm sort of professionally obligated to be hopeful, is that I've seen a time in this country when the right did not occupy this power. And since I know the country works better when they don't, it is up to the citizens to not make democracy into a spectator sport. They have to get up off their you-know-whats. They have to vote. They have to be informed. And they have to not keep their mouth shut. We simply can't be lied to anymore. I mean, it's really gotten to be sort of demonic. Everything coming out of this administration is either a lie or it's damage control.
And why is it that so many Christians choose to ignore that obvious reality? And we just have 20 seconds here,
okay.
Doctor.
I think because they prefer living a sort of delusionary life. There's a lot of challenges in life. Things can be very scary. Life is uncertain. And if you get a strong father figure that tells you, God told me this is what we should do, there's a lot of comfort in that for a lot of people.
We'll continue in just a moment with Dr. Robin Myers, Why the Christian Right...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, Riley!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, uh-huh, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
The Monterey County Democrats would like to set the record straight about tomorrow's election. Contrary to false claims by Republican Lou Calcagno, we do not endorse his campaign for District 2 supervisor. The Monterey County Democrats endorse Democrat Jill Lutz. Recently, the Republican Mr. Calcagno sent out a mailing featuring photos of Bill and Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, and John Edwards, and headlined with the false claim that Monterey County Democrats endorse him. The Monterey County Democrats endorse Jill Lutz. In response to the fake mailing, the chair of the California Democratic Party, Art Torres, issued the following statement about Mr. Calcagno. Quote, "A person who has been registered as a Republican for over 30 years should not be using national Democratic leaders to deceive voters." End quote. Democrats can do something to restore honesty to politics. Vote. Tomorrow is Election Day. The Monterey County Democrats call on all District 2 Democrats to vote for Jill Lutz for supervisor. Paid for by the Monterey County Democratic Central Committee.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with the author of Why the Christian Right is Wrong, Dr. Robin Myers. You can join us toll-free at 888-579-2540.
My name is Ian Smith, my agent is Les. The country I come from is called the Midwest. I was raised in
Yes, that's an old Bob Dylan song remade by an 80s San Francisco band called Wire Train. It's called God on Our Side. And Dylan there refers to his roots in the Midwest, an area where it is believed that God is on their side. And Dr. Robin Myers, this has now really become almost a nationalist mantra of this alleged Christian nation, that we are in this historic battle with Islam, and that we are Christian, and therefore we are right. And a number of points can be made here, but the one that's most significant to me is that Americans who embrace this appear to be completely oblivious to the fact that we are confronting religious fundamentalists of a slightly different stripe, but the character is not so different from our own fundamentalists.
No, it's frighteningly similar, and most Americans would be shocked to have that proved to them, but you could do it. Our particular brand of fundamentalism is at war with someone else's brand of fundamentalism. Each side believes God is on their side, and that really is a recipe for the end of the world. And I'm not, you know, being facetious. Fundamentalist thinking, it's my way or the highway, and you will convert to the way I think, because God has ordered me to convert you one way or the other, and if you won't convert, I'll kill you, which is okay because you deserve to be dead anyway, is really a recipe for what Dr. King called the downward spiral that is violence. And we're on that path right now. We are unleashing so much bad karma, if I can use that term, and surely in the Bay Area that's a good word.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, you read about what just happened in with the Marines killing all of those innocent civilians. War is such a horrible thing, and in many Arab countries, revenge is practiced as a fine art, so that for every death, there is the seed planted for eventual vengeance, and it simply grows exponentially. Now, what we've done in Iraq will go down in history as one of the great tragedies, one of the most immoral actions this country has committed since the Vietnam War. We did it in the name of God, of course, but then all you got to do is study history, Peter. We're always doing things in the name of God. We really have economic and national security interests, but that sounds rather grubby. So we say, really, it's a manifest destiny that we're operating under. That's, of course, how we got this country to begin with. There were some occupants here, but we said, you know, God expects us to live here and for you to move over. So this is a sickness. I mean, this is where religion goes bad and has always gone bad.
In the introduction to your book, referring to America's religious fundamentalists, you say, not all Republicans are fundamentalists, but virtually all fundamentalists are Republicans.
Right. There are some old-time sort of moderate GOP, grand old party people like John Danforth and the late Barry Goldwater and people who were simply fiscal conservatives and sort of socially tolerant. They didn't want the government involved in people's personal lives and in their religious lives, and they believed in the separation of church and state. We could use some of those people back. The old Republican Party looks liberal by comparison to today's sort of theocratic Christian right Republicans. Those people are scary for the reasons we were just discussing. They're right. They repute to know what God wants for all of us, and there is no negotiating. It's not that I have an idea and I think it's right, but I'm not going to force it on you. It's that you must convert to my way of thinking, because that's how a fundamentalist thinks.
Mm-hmm. Did you read this creed, as it's been described, from President Ahmadinejad to President Bush, the 18-page letter?
I have not read it, mm-hmm. No.
Because I have not read the entire thing, but the excerpts I read showed that he was trying to essentially persuade our president using Christian principles.
Well, that, of course, is exactly what I'm trying to do in the book. The idea is that the president claims to be a Christian while simultaneously doing everything a Christian would not do. And I'm not talking here about doctrine. Do you believe in the virgin birth, or do you believe that Jesus coming back? We've always disagreed about doctrinal things. I'm talking about what's at the heart of the gospel, which is compassion, kindness, forgiveness, a God who feels our pain and expects us to love one another. You know, we're commanded to love our enemies and pray for them, not taunt them, not say we'll bring them back dead or alive. We're supposed to look out for the next generation, for our children, as if they are really more important even than we are, not pile a mountain of debt upon their heads, which Jesus talked about. Anything we did to harm children would be like a great millstone hung around our necks, and we should be drowned in the depths of the sea. The environment, which we are wrecking, I mean, this is the issue that we ought to be able to agree on in a bipartisan way. We're not going to survive on this planet if we don't change our ways. And here we have a president who's an oil man from Texas, whose very livelihood and the livelihood of all his friends depends upon sticking with a disastrous petroleum-based energy policy. So that's what we've got. And Americans can say, well, you know, if I were an oil man, I'd love these high oil prices too. But Bush has got to be the president of all the people. And he's also the commander-in-chief of the world's most powerful military. And that's going to take a very special person who's very virtuous.
Well, Bush admitted he only represents the haves and the have-mores.
Yes, I know. And he also crawled around under his desk and said, now, where are those weapons of mass destruction? And if that is not pathetic, it's just like if I had a son or daughter in the military and the president had said, bring them on, had taunted the insurgency, I would have wanted to jump through the TV screen and strangle the man. I don't know how the parents of the brave men and women in uniform in this country can tolerate listening to a commander-in-chief who has none of the virtues of a great leader.
Now, I have some of those same temptations, Dr. Myers, but as a man of the cloth, and you reference Jimmy Swaggart in here, you should be careful.
That's how I felt, not what I was going to do. But I, you know, there's a difference between anger, and I talk about this in the book, between anger that is oriented toward vengeance. If this person hurt me, I'm going to hurt this person back. And what the Bible, the whole prophetic tradition in the Bible calls righteous indignation. Mm-hmm. We ought to be indignant over the things that are happening in this country because, in fact, we are preventing human beings from having the lives that they deserve to have. And if Katrina, the response to Hurricane Katrina, did not clear it up for people, then I don't know what will.
Dave from the Pinnacles, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show and say hello to Dr. Robin Myers.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having Dr. Myers on. Dr. Myers, my question probably won't interest very many people in the audience, but I read a lot about psychology and really the psychology of religion. And what I'm interested in is what is your opinion of all these Protestant denominations signing on to this new NIV, the new international version of the Bible? Now, I've looked through it, and I have seen some glaring changes And I'm just wondering what your opinion is.
Well, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Their preference for that new international version and thinking that's the only version that should be used? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm just wondering about the changes, that some of the glaring, like I noticed in you were talking about this strong father figure and the strong patriarchal psychological presence. And I noticed that in fact, the first time I opened the new Bible, I that's the first thing I noticed. And I'll just give you a quick example. Jesus is led in front of Pontius Pilate, and Pilate asks him, are you the king of the Jews? And in all the other versions of the Bible, Jesus says, well, if you say I am, or if they say I am, but in this new Bible, Jesus makes the answer in the affirmative, where he says, yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be the more macho Jesus.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm referring to. And I'm wondering if you notice this why is this happening?
Well, because you have a community that wants to shape the message of Jesus in the way that fits its political agenda, its lifestyle, its worldview. And so the last power grab would be to actually amend the scripture in such a way as to fulfill that understanding. And I don't put that past people at all. It happens all the time.
Well, and Dr. Myers, in the book, I believe there's a reference to your seminary training where you talk about how the Bible, of course, wasn't written in English, so there are a lot of issues with translations, but you basically say that anybody who takes the Bible literally, well, you finish that thought.
Well, I mean, it's absolutely absurd. We can't blame people for believing things that were wrong. But in first century Palestine, all diseases were caused by demon possession, and you know, the sun revolved around the earth, and there was a three-story universe. And women were clearly inferior second-class citizens, or, you know, they were the possession of their fathers, actually. There's just, you can go on and on and on about the superstitions and the mythic practices, cultic practices of the Bible, and nobody, even fundamentalists, would say, well, no, we don't believe those things anymore. But we have picked and chosen the very texts which we want to transcend time and culture, And those are the strictures against homosexual activity and the things that already fit our political agendas. That's how we misuse the Bible. And the Bible is misused all the time because the passages are taken out of context.
We're going to take a break and continue with Dr. Robin Myers. More of your calls coming up in the next segment. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free 888-579-2540. It's a powerful book, and I hope you'll read it. Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. It's out in hardcover from a division of Wiley Publications. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
The show is a replay, but the traffic is real. Here's Metro Diane.
We're going to start Pacheco Pass Highway 152 east of 156. We have a major injury accident blocking lanes there. Two vehicles actually collided head-on, so emergency crews are on the scene. In Santa Cruz, northbound 1 before Morrissey Boulevard, there's an oil slick in the right-hand lane. It might be the result of an earlier accident, but definitely drive with caution throughout the area there. In Aptos, southbound Highway 1 at SoCal Drive, we have a stalled vehicle in the center divide. This report is brought to you by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combinations of the nutrients to bring out their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. I'm Diana with traffic on KRXA 540.
Hey, Diana, has anyone ever told you you're really good on the air?
Well, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Every 15 minutes on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's see if we can make Dr. Robin Myers cry. Is it working, Dr. Myers?
Oh, it is. I love it. You know,
this is actually a choral version of America the Beautiful that appears on Neil Young's new anti-war CD called Living with War.
It's a fabulous album. In fact, Neil's going to bring us all back to the 60s in the best sense of the word, and that's what the book is about, too. The 60s wasn't just about the drug culture and sexual promiscuity. It was about caring about something more important than whether I'm having a good hair day or a bad hair day.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to go back there again, because almost as many people voted to choose the next American idol as voted in the last election. And if that doesn't scare you to death, nothing will.
Well, and the fact that people have argued over the methods used to determine the voting, you know, legality on American Idol, they care more about that than what happened in Ohio in 2004.
That's very scary.
It drives me crazy.
And you know, Peter, let me something about the America the Beautiful. That was written by a Congregationalist, by the way, which is my tradition, by a woman named Catherine Lee Bates, and she wrote it from the top of Pikes Peak, Purple Mountains Majesty, the Fruited Plain. She was looking east toward Kansas, my native state, and west toward the Continental Divide. But there's all kinds of lines in that beautiful song that are about exercising self-control. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty and law. She talks about refining the gold that is America. There are a number of lines in it that say, power brings with it responsibility, and even religiosity brings with it the need to be humble. Jimmy Carter, whatever else you thought of him as a president, was a humble human being. And his book, the latest book, Our Endangered Values, which I taught to a Sunday school class here in the church, a wonderful book, echoes many of the same themes in my book, only he says it as a Southern Baptist, and I'm not a Southern Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, all people of faith, I think evangelicals who are much more conservative than I am, have also had their gospel stolen. The Christian right is not to be identified simply with all believers who are conservative or more orthodox in their theology. I respect their theology as much as I hope they will respect mine. The difference is there's a small group of power-hungry people who use religious emotional sanction, but the hot-button issues like abortion, and stem cell research, and euthanasia, and anything having to do with human sexuality to terrify people into thinking that Western civilization is falling apart, and the only way to stop that from happening is vote Republican, and then those Republicans get into office, and they don't care a thing about the religious issues they energize their base with. They cut taxes, they roll back environmental regulations, and they make sure they make a lot of money and their friends make a lot of money, because that's their true religion.
Dr. Robin Myers with us here, and you're in good company. Maybe your publisher doesn't like the competition, but Rabbi Michael Lerner has a book out. He's been on our show. I actually tried to engineer a duet with the two of you because I thought it would be interesting, but his schedule's just too complicated. His book is The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. Jim Wallace has a book out, God's Politics, Why the Right Gets It Wrong and the Left Doesn't Get It. You referenced Jimmy Carter's book. And there was a big conference in Washington last week of progressive people of faith.
Right, right. It was a wonderful opportunity. I didn't get to go because I was still teaching at the university here, so I had obligations. I couldn't go. But Michael Lerner's book, The Left Hand of God, and my book are sold together on Amazon as a package.
That's great.
So you can buy the two of them at a discount, and I have yet to meet Michael, but we have exchanged emails, and it's inevitable we'll get together.
Well, you're coming to the Bay Area. You have an appearance at Cody's Bookstore in Berkeley, if it's still open. They're planning to close it, but July 8th.
Well, surely one of them. Aren't there two?
Yeah, there's one in San Francisco, too.
Okay.
So you'll be at Cody's on July 8th, and we'll let our listeners know specifics as we get closer. And if I can engineer a meeting with you and Rabbi Lerner, I'll do that.
That would be absolutely wonderful. I'm going to be at Cody's the evening of July the 8th, which is a Saturday evening, and then I'm preaching at one of the most liberal, one of the most progressive churches in America, First Congregational Church of Berkeley, the next morning, Sunday morning, July 9th. So if you people want to hear what a liberal from Oklahoma sounds like in the pulpit, they should get their going to church clothes on and come on down to First Church.
Well, I'll confess I haven't been to church in a while, but this might be the draw.
I would love to look out there and see you, Peter, although I'm not sure I'd know who you were, so you'd have to introduce yourself first.
It won't be too tough. Cheryl in Arcata, join us and say hello to Reverend Myers.
Hey, how are you doing, Reverend Myers?
Hi, I'm fine.
Great. Yeah, to me, this subject kind of runs deep for anybody that has some faith, as far as what the president has done, as far as taking religion and just using it for his political pulpit. And, I think he's acting very anti-Christ-like. I'm not saying he is the Antichrist, but it seems like he's taken some Old Testament and taken that to heart, and then he's gone, you know, straight into Armageddon. But he's not looking at really, you know, what the heart of why Jesus came here, and that's to... you know, basically, like you said, you know, look at, you know, compassion and taking care of the least of us. And while George Bush has been in office, we're looking at poverty just going through the roof and just nothing but lies coming out of his mouth. And
yeah. I don't think he's
so
the
it's
Antichrist.
It's really maddening to
smart enough to be the Antichrist. But he clearly has either misunderstood the gospel, or he simply misrepresents himself as being a student of the gospel or a disciple of Jesus. None of the dispositions that we associate with a follower of Jesus, that one becomes more humble, more compassionate, more kind, and especially with regard to the poor, more willing to help, to use whatever strength we have to help those who are weak. This is simply the opposite idea that the Bush administration puts in its tax policy, and it's in all of its actions are, one could argue, fundamentally unchristian.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the most glaring point was what you had mentioned, and that was how he handled Katrina.
This image of him looking out the window of Air Force One, and it was a nice little photo op, and then he said, well, it looks terrible from up here. It must really be bad on the ground. If he's a man of compassion, if he's a follower of Christ, he should have been on the ground. He should have had his shirt sleeves rolled up, and he should have been doing something, handing out food, something, but not just having Air Force One drop down low and swoop over the area and have a photo op as if he's doing something by looking out the window. It's not. I don't really think it's that the president is intentionally mean. I just don't think he gets it. I don't think he understands poor people because he grew up in a family with money. He failed at every business venture he had and still had lots of money.
His mother proved that point in the days after Katrina.
That's right. Yes, by saying some horrible things, and they're in the book. That all these evacuees have come to Texas, so it's really working out well for them.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and I don't. Again, a lot of Reinhold Niebuhr, great theologian. theologian from Union Seminary, said a lot of bad things are done by good people who don't know that they're not good. It's a wonderful thing to think about, because a person who believes that they are righteous and following God's edicts while doing things that really bring misery and harm to other people are dangerous people, and history is littered with those people.
Cheryl, you know, thanks for the call. I want to jump to Mike in Pebble Beach. Mike, you're on with Dr. Robin Myers.
Yes. I hope I'm not too far off topic, but I would think that the it's difficult to expect much compassion from the extremists on the religious right, but I should think that if not compassion, then they would certainly be in favor of justice. And I guess the question I have is about justice. There are so many scandals, it's hard for me to keep track of them. But I heard a news report today that said the FBI could not conduct a thorough investigation of one of the scandals because they would have to deal with classified information. Is that
right.
Correct?
Yeah, they want to investigate the NSA, but the Defense Department won't give them clearances, therefore they won't be investigating. And likewise, the FCC has said that it won't be investigating the NSA spying or the telephone records data mining because they don't have clearances for security investigations either. Doctor?
Well, my question is really then, nobody in the news has kind of raised the issue of if the FBI is supposed to have responsibility for domestic events that take place,
mm-hmm.
what good are they if they cannot investigate a possible criminal activity?
All right, Dr. Myers, just 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Sure. What good is any organization working for the Bush administration when all the Bush administration expects of them is loyalty, not competence, not to do their job, not to defend the Constitution, but to be loyal to their agenda? That's really one of the characteristics of fascism. You silence all your critics. You expect loyalty from people, not competence, but loyalty. And then everyone keeps their secrets, the way it's done on corporate boards as well.
Yeah, Mike, that was a great question, and I think it's very much on topic. Thanks for joining us today. Dr. Myers, a pleasure to talk with you again. Best wishes with the book and the book tour.
Thank
Why
you.
The Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, Doctor, we'll see you on the West Coast in July.
I look forward to it.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about NSA spying and take your calls on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A CBS News exclusive. Correspondent Jim Stewart reports on the emergence of homegrown terrorist groups.
The next attack here, officials predict, will bear no resemblance to 9/11.
But officials in Washington are convinced an attack is coming, perhaps by the end of the year. They cite the bombing plot just broken up in Canada, and since last summer, three small-scale plots uncovered in this country. With that many plots discovered, officials are convinced there are more in the planning stages.
They believe that the likelihood is that these people are already here, but there has been a disturbing new development overseas in Iraq, where they have noted that several people now who volunteered to go and commit jihad or war against the United States there have been told to wait, stay where you are, for possible developments in the United States or Europe.
The military is always on alert. This evening, F-16 fighter jets scrambled when a single-engine plane wandered into Washington's restricted airspace. It was forced to land, but authorities concluded there was no security threat, just a pilot who made a mistake. Maybe next year for Michelle Wie. She excited the crowd during today's qualifying rounds for the U.S. Open, but in the end, she didn't make the cut.
She played great. Her problem was on the greens. She had, I believe, 65 putts for the two rounds.
Jim Harry of Sports Illustrated. We finished with an overall score of 143, one over par, not enough to make her the first woman to play at the Open. After a woman said she was raped at a Duke lacrosse team party, University President Richard Broadhead canceled the team's season, but now that only a few players have been implicated, he's reinstated the lacrosse program, but he says it's probationary.
If we begin to see patterns of irresponsible individual or team behaviors familiar from the past, the athletics director and I will have no choice but to revisit this decision, and we won't hesitate to do so.
The three players indicted in the case have all pleaded innocent. Former Major League umpire Eric Gregg has died. He suffered a devastating stroke yesterday. Gregg was 55. From both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, pressure mounted today for a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage.
Our policy should aim to strengthen families, not undermine them. And changing the definition of marriage would undermine the family structure.
President Bush led a pep rally at the White House as the Senate opened debate.